The opinions you love. The history you crave. This is Rant EM Radio.
The recognized symbol of excellence in sports entertainment.
The Shining Wizards Network proudly presents
the Turnbuckle Throwbacks Wrestling Podcast
with your hosts,
the Impact Playa, Phil Rea, and Dave Mega Powers.
Gentlemen, boys and girls, and lowlifes, your new recognized symbol of excellence in sports entertainment, from the current to the way back, we are the Turnbuckle Throwbacks Wrestling Podcast. As always, your gracious host, the Impact Player, Mr. Phil Rea, and I'm joined by... Hello? And
yeah.
I'm joined by...
Well, since it's Ash Wednesday, it's... I'm ashy, but I'm classy, the Mega Powers.
Yeah, he's probably got some fucking Japanese chick locked in his basement. That's why he's not in studio tonight. What's up, brother?
I'm just chilling in downtown Powerdice. How you doing, man?
I am broadcasting live on Rant EM Radio from the Decker Dome in beautiful Shaolin, New York City. You like my radio voice?
Yes, I do.
All right, well, let's first of all... Welcome, everybody, and if you're in the chat room, hello. I had some technical difficulties, of course. Nothing is easy in this realm of internet radio broadcasting, as I'm learning very slowly and painfully.
Nothing's easy in this world, Phil.
Yeah, well, you know what? Sometimes I want a break. I guess not. Not going to happen. But anyway, I digress. Everybody's digressing lately, but I digress. So I started this podcast. First of all, whoever's new to the show, Welcome, and I'll explain right now. I started this podcast about almost 2 years ago, and I had a couple of shows under my belt, and I didn't like the way the format was going. I wasn't happy with the way it was progressing. I had a few close friends jump in with me, thank God, for Tommy, my boy Tank, Otto, and Jason Grooms. So thank you guys all for hanging in there, for my first ever fans. But as I got better with it, I had a $3 microphone at one point, a five-year computer, and I was sounding like crap. Missionary Thomas from Wrestling Soup, you know, threw me in the right direction, gave me a program to look at, started getting better, got a better microphone, started doing this on my own for like the first 20 episodes, hooked up with the Man Cave guys and all that stuff, and it was getting progressively better. And then I met the Shining Wizards, and we connected on a personal level, on a business level. It was a wonderful connection. With that being said, I met the Rant guys, but I met Dave through the Wizards, and it was a good spot. So Dave jumped in about 20 some odd episodes in, and this is where we are now. Now we're live on the Rant Network.
We're live.
We're alive. RantEMRadio.com is the place. We are still a Shining Wizards Network production. Don't ever get that twisted. That's family. But tonight, this is our first night like going live, and it's been so cool. And I really, again, want to thank AA and the boys for showing us the love. It's been a wonderful experience so far with them, and now doing the live thing. So what's going on?
Oh man, just chilling, you know, ready for WPW this weekend.
Right.
For that, particularly Piper. I want to see Piper.
Well, yeah. Anthony G, the COO from WPW, is going to be calling in a few minutes. Yeah, we got some stuff going on. We'll plug that later on. There's so many things I want to talk about, and and first and foremost, before we get into our plugs later on, I really want to give a shout out to Don Tony and Kevin Castle, the Don Tony and Kevin Castle show. Don Tony does like a side little thing on Wednesday nights, and when he found out that we were doing our show, he felt so bad that he messaged me today on Facebook, and he was like, "Listen, man," he goes, I'm gonna move my show to 8 o'clock so you and Dave can do the 9 o'clock and whatever, you know.
Thank you, Don Tony.
Yeah, man, good looking out, man. We have so many great people on our Facebook page. It's been blowing up like like the World Trade, man. It's been crazy. It's been it's no, really, man. We, guys from the UK and all our people and all the shows, and it's been so great. And I've been so blessed. And the Rant guys they're out of their minds. They're so great, and their shows are cool. We'll plug them in a little while.
We're hitting all those great white countries that speak English. It's amazing.
Yeah, man. This is a big deal for us. Dave liked the first couple of shows that we did. We did a Christmas show live. We did another show. And Dave was like, why don't we just look into going live? So when I reached out to AA, he was like, yeah, you know, whatever you guys want to do. And then my shitty work schedule kicked in. And we had to do it on this night. And, it happened. So it came to pass, and really nothing's changed except now we're going to be doing this every week at 9 p.m. on Wednesday nights on The Rant, and we'll still be on The Shining Wizards. You can still find us on iTunes and Stitcher and Buzzsprout and Geek Life and all the other friggin' ones. I'll plug them later. And again, it's a tribute to all you guys, so thank you so much for, supporting us and participating in everything, and it's been a really cool ride, man. I really appreciate the love, and I'm stoked about what's going to come for the upcoming year for the Turnbuckle Throwbacks.
Yeah, man. Me personally, I like it live. I like it raw. And there's nothing to protect the Turnbuckle Throwbacks audience from us from now on Wednesdays.
Yeah, no, it's all good, man. So we're going to take some calls tonight if time allows us. And, the call-in number is 718-878-6394. We'll not be taking calls yet. Don't call yet. We'll post it.
There's some asshole's going to probably call anyway. So.
And then they'll get disconnected. We want me to tell you. I want to talk to Anthony first and get him out of the way because we got a big show on Saturday night that we're plugging for them. And we have a ass ton of news to get into. And we have a
ass ton.
Yeah, and we got a kick-ass throwback tonight. David, we have the WrestleMania 7.
Superstars and Stripes Forever.
Yeah, I watched it again on Saturday, and my wife, funny man, my wife is awesome. She came in on the part when with Savage, and we'll get into that later on. Just remind me, I have to just finish that story because it's really, really, really good.
Okay.
All right, so you want to get into some news and some notes and all that?
Yeah, let's get into some news. There's a lot of news going on.
Yes, the first news item of the evening, I don't have any sound clips yet. Give me a couple of weeks to get all that shit worked out, and we'll do that.
One day at a time.
Yeah, man, it's hard out there for a pimp.
Yeah, man, pimping ain't easy.
Yeah, pimping is not easy. Fred Ottman's son, his name is Berkeley Ottman. He works now as a timekeeper for NXT. I know NXT Nixon knows that.
Oh shit. There's a lot of people's kids working in NXT.
Yeah, man. They showed a picture of him with Cody Rhodes. It's pretty cool on the internet. Mm. His name is he worked this past Monday night on Raw with longtime WWE timekeeper Mark Eaton.
He was dinging the bell that night too.
He's been dinging the bell. Damn. Dinging the bell. The news you can use, baby. What else is going
Actually,
on?
Actually, I got a bell.
Yo, you got a bell. Look, see,
I had a bell.
I didn't want to spend $20 on one, man. I couldn't find a fucking cheap bell. I was pissed.
Yeah.
All right. So Dave put this on the web, I say, about an hour before I got home, which is pretty cool, and I had it already in my notes. All you Marcus Buff Bagwell fans.
It's Marcus Alexander Bagwell.
It's Buff Daddy. Buff is the stuff, and Buff apparently is a male escort now.
Well, listen, I remember somebody on the group page actually posted some clip from the Showtime.
Yeah, he's on a show called Gigolos, right?
So now he's, like, whoring himself out for real.
Yeah. He's on a male escort site called cowboysforangels.com.
Wow.
Yeah, it's confirmed. Thank you. You're welcome.
That is a horrible name for any kind of website.
All right. All right, so check this out. His race.
Unless, like, Stan Hansen and Bobby Duncombe Jr.
I know Liz was on our buddy Liz from the Bloke Show page. She was like, I wouldn't touch it with a 100-foot pole, and I don't know. I guess I don't blame her in a way. I know where he's been because just to hear.
Well,
him
what
talk,
if we got like a 101-foot pole? Would you touch it with that?
I don't think so, man. Not even if I flew that way. But check out his rates, bro. His rates are $800 for 2 hours.
That's reasonable.
That's, yeah, well, I don't know, Dave. Do you buy escorts? I have no idea what the fucking going rate is.
I wouldn't know anything about this, but no. It sounds reasonable.
No, not at all. He's $800 for 2 hours, $1,550 for 4 hours, $3,000 for an overnight stay. You want him for a whole day, it's $4,500.
Oh, my God.
Tony C says Buff gets more trim than Rage. Leave Rage alone, man. Y'all been picking on him too much lately. $8,000 for the weekend, for a weekend trip. Ooh, you could take, for $8,000, you could take him away. Where would you take Buff Bagwell, ladies and gentlemen? I got to know.
I wouldn't know where to take Buff Bagwell.
Now, Mega Powers, if you want him for an entire week, it's $25,000 for an entire week.
Well, it's a human being, for Christ's sake. That's your beck and call, you know?
Dojo in the chat room says you can have him dress as the handsome stranger from Global. Again, for an extra $50. I'd put a mask on him and beat him with an ugly stick. He's not even that ugly. He's a handsome bastard.
Well, you know, I won't say who told me any of these stories, but, you know, workers do get requests from, I guess you could call them special fans.
Special fans.
Who are willing to pay top dollar for workers to beat the fuck out of them.
Yeah.
Just something I've heard, you know, along my travels for my brief time involved with wrestling.
Kid Human in the chat room wants to know, do you have to feed them also?
No.
I mean, really, for fucking, for 25, well, wait, for $8,000 for the weekend, I have to feed them too?
Is that included with the amounts, or?
I don't know if is food and gratuities included? I don't know. I really don't know.
I'm guessing if you have $8,000 to spend on Buff Bagwell, I'm sure you have enough to feed him a dollar menu or something like that. I don't know.
Yeah, I would.
Golden Corral, anybody? Ground Round, Sizzler.
Oh, Golden. I wish we had a Golden Corral around here. I heard there's one in the Bronx, but I don't want to go up to the Bronx. Not in that part of the Bronx, anyway.
That's like a buffet, right?
Yeah, it's like a buffet. Back in the day, we had Sizzler like that. Sizzler was like our buffet, like the steak and chicken and shit. Oh, Scotty's Kid Human. What's up, Scott? Yeah, all right.
Come on, dude.
I'm going to try to monitor the chat room.
Hey, I got an idea. We should do Shining Wizards Network bake sale to get, Shining Wizards Matt a date with Buff Bagwell. How does that?
We get Garifo a date. How about that? Garifo's single, isn't he?
Yeah, I think he's into Buff Bagwell.
I think he's the only wizard that's not with a significant other at this time. I'm not sure.
So he's the most eligible bachelor, and we can hook him up with WCW Magazine's Rookie of the Year for 1992.
Former tag team and U.S. champ, right?
Yeah, the U.S. champ.
Was he U.S. champ? I don't remember.
I don't recall him having a belt, you know, that didn't require somebody else working with him to get it.
I know he was tag team champion with his mom, right?
I believe so.
And with Two Cold Scorpio. We spoke about that a couple episodes ago.
Patriot, and we have a fan question about the Patriot for later on.
Oh, do we? Oh, yeah. I like Del Wilkes. All right, let's move right along in the news. Forbes magazine finally listed Vince McMahon on their billionaire list.
I wonder what took them so long.
Well, I'll tell you. Newcomer, he's called the notable newcomer. He's worth $1.2 billion. The thing is with
only $1.2 billion?
Yeah, you see, the company was hit the billion mark a while back, but he himself wasn't worth a billion. The company was worth a billion. Since it went public, you know, that is the, that was the thing. So you have to understand, too, there's a shit ton of billionaires out there, man. So to make the Forbes list is pretty dope, you know?
Wait, there's a lot of billionaires out there?
Yeah, dude, I didn't even notice. I read the article.
How the fuck do I get on that list? Shit.
Tank just put all his accomplishments up, Buff Bagwell's accomplishments in the chat room.
I'm sure it didn't take up much space.
No, Tank took up a whole space, actually, if you look at the chat room.
Oh, gosh.
All right. So he's worth $1.2 billion. He joined his dad's company in 72, bought it from him 10 years later, and we all know it went public in 99. So from 99 to now, it's been grossing the $1 billion. Well, not from 99, but after that. And its programming is nearly in 150 countries and in 30 different languages. I had a translator call in Cambodian about 2 weeks ago. I want to watch Raw in Cambodian. Those motherfuckers is crazy when they talk on the phone. So, all right.
Well, don't they fucking like eat people or something like that? Pol Pot? Didn't Dead Kennedys have a song about that guy in Cambodia?
I love
Holiday in Cambodia.
love the Dead Kennedys. Wasn't Rocky George on guitar? Guy from Suicidal Tendencies? I have to look that up.
I just remember East Bay Ray on guitar. That's it.
All right, then.
If they had another guitarist, I don't remember.
All right. Let's see. All right, moving right along. Paul Bearer is in the Hall of Fame. How do you feel about that?
Well, you know, I agree with that. I can get behind that. Just because, you know, he's got a significant career. You know, WCCW.
Well, that's the thing. They didn't acknowledge his WCCW career.
I think that's fine because for me, most people know him as Paul Bearer. I know a lot of fans out there, especially guys like us, you know, they want them to talk about the old shit. But I think just for how the WWE runs, you know, they're going to acknowledge the guy's most recent, you know, stuff. And that's WWE as Paul Bearer, which I'm fine with. And I'm sure Undertaker's going to be the one that inducts him. So that should be an interesting sight to behold.
I got a gripe with them not acknowledging his Percy Pringle stuff. If they do.
I got a gripe with them not acknowledging Paul Roma and Mongo as part of the Horsemen.
We don't even have enough time for that. You know how I feel about that. And we don't want to bore these people. They're listening to us live. It just
burns my bridges, Phil.
Well, don't ruin this for me, David. I'm telling you that right now.
All right.
So, all right. I just have a little bit of a problem with them not acknowledging because he did a whole bunch of stuff before Paul Bearer, and he only managed a couple of guys, right? He managed Vader and Kane and Kane, Vader, Mick Foley, and Taker. I don't know if he got anybody else, right?
Yeah, I don't really remember him with too many people.
Yeah, you know, again, I think he deserves the accolades, but I want him to be the guy, you know, the Bill Moody, the Paul Bearer, and he did a lot for the company, and the stuff in Texas, I mean, I don't know. No, we don't want to hear about Paul Roma. I don't like Paul Roma. He's the drizzling shits. You want to hear about Paul Roma, listen to somebody else.
But he had a great splash.
Fuck him. All right.
Or the power and glory. Come on.
Power and glory with the cut T-shirts. Hercules. Yeah. Mongo was the worst horseman, Tony C. See, now you got me all fucking riled up, Mega Powers. This is why we can't have nice things.
Hey, man, it doesn't take much.
You're right. Lately, it doesn't. I've been fucking stressed out. All right. And tonight was no different, man. Honestly, Double A talked me off the ledge before, man. He was like, listen, calm down. It's going to be all right. We'll take care of it, you know. And I'm like, all right. And he's the boss. I can't cross the boss. I'm the new guy.
Yeah.
So, like, I'm saying to myself, if this doesn't go through, I'm going to smash this computer. My wife's going to divorce me, and I'm going to have to eat fucking cold cuts for the rest of the month. And that's going to suck. So, anyway.
I'm sure I can get you some coupons for some Oscar Mayer.
All right. Anyway, moving right along. Back to the news. WWE Network is giving vouchers to Xbox Live subscribers for their network issues. I spoke to Tony Z from the Wizards the other night. Tony Z is streaming the network through the Xbox Live, and he was having some problems. They're giving like $5 vouchers.
$5?
Yeah, that's terrible. Now, the last time I had an Xbox 360 account, like the gold account, the gold standard account, it was like $60 for a year. What the fuck am I going to do with $5?
Exactly. That's why I have PS3.
Yeah, hold on. Anthony's calling in. Hold on a second.
All right.
Turnbuckle Throwbacks.
How you doing?
Who's this?
Anthony Gargiulo. How are you?
What's
World
up?
Premier Wrestling.
Ladies and gentlemen, the COO of World Premier Wrestling, Mr. Anthony Gargiulo. How are you, sir?
I'm doing well. Yourself?
We're trying to get by. I almost smashed my computer. Because I'm having a hard time logging in. I got Mega Powers on hold. But what's going on, brother?
After much, man. Getting ready. Busy, 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 man. This weekend's going to be insane. A lot of stuff going on, man.
Lots of stuff going on. Now, how are you guys? Are you guys all set up for Saturday? You got your whole card in there?
Whole card set up. We got 10 matches. Got about 44 wrestlers going to be there. You know, the pre-show is going to be pretty good with the Holy Grail, with the autograph signing. We get to meet some of the best, you know, from the past and now. Get to hang out with them. We got a DJ set up. And we're going to make it for the fans to have fun. And then we have our matches, and we got a lot of surprises that are going to come out too. So it's just a lot of work, and I'm looking forward to it. It's just counting down the days.
WPW presents Resurrection. It's going to be at the Resorts World Casino in Queens, New York City, right in my backyard, my hometown. Bell time is at 7:30. But like Anthony said, they're going to have the Holy Grail pre-show. That starts at noon, right? Or 2 o'clock, right? 2 to 6?
2 o'clock, 2 to 6, yeah.
Turnbuckle Throwbacks will be there doing a podcast. Let's go down the line, man. The card is stacked so far. Elimination match for the Women's Championship, Mickie James versus Angelina Love. We have an 8-man TLC tables games match with the Grim Reaper, Rest Draven, Earl Cooter, Brian XL, Bandito, Lance Inouye, All Money's Legal. The Empire States Championship, Malta the Damager versus our boy Justin Credible. Papa Don versus Danny Demento. We have a hardcore match with no DQ, our buddy Low Life Louis Ramos versus Jay Love and the Almighty Sheik. The Crew versus the FBI, Big Vito and Little Guido. What do we got going on? There's an elimination match for the championship. Yeah, Matt Morgan's fighting Tony Nese. If you haven't seen Tony Nese live, you're in for a treat. Yeah. Tony Nese is a talent. I got to see Tony Nese. I got to see Tony last year in WrestleMania weekend, and he put on a clinic. He is fantastic. Taking nothing away from Matt Morgan, I'm just, you know, I'm a little biased. I like Tony Nese. All right. Amazing Red versus Sanjay Dutt. Sanjay was on that same car with Tony Nese last year. I saw a lot of Sanjay. He's fantastic.
He's good, man.
We got our buddy, our stablemate from the Shining Wizards Network, Kevin Matthews, with Becky Bayless. He's going to fight Matt Stryker. That should be good. They got a little bit of heat going on. And you got a 20-man jackpot rumble brawl for it all. And more importantly, there's a Piper's Pit.
Yeah, that's the big, big one. That's right there.
How the hell did you pull that off?
We're going to make it happen. That's it. We're going to do a WPW Piper's Pit. You know, we're going to have Bill Apta there. He's going to be interviewing him. We're going to have a couple of guests on there. We got Bob Orton. He's going to be in town. You know, we're going to make it happen. You know, have fun.
So
it's going to be exciting.
I'm glad to have you guys back. You were around. Last time you guys were around was, I believe, was 2008, correct?
Yes.
Okay. Again, and Anthony and I have been speaking for like almost 2 months now. The indies are in a resurgence, especially in the Northeast here locally. If you have a chance to come out in the tri-state area, come out to the show. There's plenty. You guys don't ringside? Ringside is sold out now officially?
We have about 20 seats left for the show. Ringside sold out, you know, within the first, you know, they went really quick, the first row, second row, third row. They have about 20 seats left. We have section B1 and B2, which is right behind ringside, which is phenomenal seats. You got to remember, you get seats for ringside, you know, that's great, six rows. But guess what? Sit right behind it for $30, seventh row. You can't ask for a better seat than that. You can right up in the action. So, you know, we have a lot of those seats available too. And then general admission, you know, you want to pack the place out. So if you don't have a car, we have bus service. If you know, has these charter buses that leave from the city, from Queens, from Brooklyn. You know, they'll pick you up for free, drop you off. You got the train. You could fly into the airport and get there. It's a great casino, great food, you know, and we're going to put on a show for everybody that night. So be prepared.
Yeah, it's going to be great. The casino is fairly new. I have not been there yet. I moved out of the borough when they built it, and I've been out here for about 3 years, and I live out in Staten Island now. And I haven't gone to the casino yet. I know my family's excited because they're a bunch of degenerate gamblers. So, you know, it's good. No, it's going to be a good time. And like Anthony said, it's very successful via transportation. A lot of buses go there. The trains go out there, the A train. I'm not going to give you the whole MTA schedule. I'm too tired. I worked all day. But,
You know what else, though? I just want to say, like, casino, everybody says about kids because it's a casino. But I do want to let you know that. We worked it out that the casino is going to, of course, you know, we do the show for everybody. So if you have kids, you're going to enter the section D6, which is the roof, okay, which is it's a section that you go through a different entrance, and you go through it. Now, on display that you did not mention is we have the first ever WPW official NASCAR that's going to be there by McGuire Motorsport with one of our own and the new Margarita Dominguez, who's going to be outside monolith. This car is almost has 500 horsepower. You know, I personally want to drive it myself, but, you know, anybody that's coming out, you got to take a look at this car. Take a look at the girl that's going to be there on your way in. Take a picture with them, you know. And I don't know anybody that would have that on display for the show. And, you know, we're starting to group with McGuire Sports. So, you know, we want everybody to join together. That's what it's about.
Yeah, you got the Big O's going to be there. It's going to be fantastic. A lot of the top independent guys will be there. And Piper's Pit, dude, just to see Piper's Pit in person. I haven't seen a Piper's Pit in person since 1987. So for me, this is a treat. And I'm getting up there in age. So, you know, to see these guys still hanging and banging and coming around to my area, it's a good deal. And anybody who's a big wrestling fan, it's a night out. Like Anthony said, don't worry about the casino. My kid's only 7 years old. He can't play the slots. But he could definitely come to the show. You could bring the kids. It's going to be a family atmosphere. NASCAR, honeys, and just pure good wrestling, man. You know, not the stuff you're going to see on TV. You're going to see good independent wrestling. And it's what WPW is all about. And that's what we're promoting. So,
yeah, we're going to have our next show is going to be the first week in May. You know, we got a lot of shows booked for the year. So, you know, definitely keep an eye out because right after we do this one, you know, we got to roll over really quick. And, you know, we're looking to bring a lot of big talent into that. Just keep it going.
Yeah, we'll try we're going to try to be at every show and do some broadcasting there and hopefully get some wrestlers to come to the table and talk about what's going on for the night and get you at the table, get some of the brass at the table, and let's just enjoy the night. And I wish you guys all the best of luck, man. It's going to be a great night. I'm stoked. My family's stoked. Dave is stoked. And it's going to be a great night.
Exactly. I can't wait to see you guys, man.
So we'll go to WPWWrestling.com. Hit up Anthony on the Facebook. Hit up the Facebook page. He's very accessible. And the organization is great. There was some discretion on the page about the autographs and stuff. There is an extra charge if you want to take pictures, right, and autographs with the talent.
Yeah. What's good is if you buy a ticket to the main show, if you spend $30 on a regular ticket, you're going to get admission to the pre-show. And the pre-show allows you to go in and mingle with everybody. But if you want to take a picture with you know, the different talent, each talent table is different, has different prices. It's not that expensive. You know, our prices for Piper were $40, you know. So, you know, people out there were charging $100. You know, they saw it as low as $10. We'll print the picture right out for you right there on the spot, you know. So if you want to just go to the pre-show, you go to the casino box office and you buy it for $10 and you buy the tickets to the Holy Grail. So come out, spend a day. We even have an after party afterwards downstairs in the casino at a Club 360. So it's a day of everything with us. You know, you'd be part of the family.
And with this day and age, with the economy the way it is, for $30, you're getting an entire day. You're getting from, you know, 2 in the afternoon to way past 10 o'clock at night. It's a full day for a family. If you're a wrestling fan, come out. Again, it's I can't say so much more about it. I mean, it's going to be a great time. And when I saw the product and reached out to Anthony and Dave and I was stoked because, you know, we want to get involved in something local. And this was our chance with the, you know, WPW coming back.
Yeah, and I don't want anybody to think that we weren't around. It's just my uncle, who's the owner of Guido Salvo, he got a little sick, you know. My uncle, we wanted to, you know, we had to have him 100%. So, you know, we made sure until he was better and took a lot of steps within the company to reorg. And, you know, well, now we're back, but bigger than ever, and we're going to make it happen. So, you know, you definitely got to keep a lookout of it. We want to do it different because that's the key. The key is anybody can do what's out there. Anybody can throw a show. But the venue itself, the place, the atmosphere, the whole third floor of the casino, you know, the food, you know, the setup of it, you know. We're trying to do it where it's different, and we're trying to do it where everybody has fun. You know, when you guys are there, you know, you guys are going to have a blast with us. All the wrestlers are going to be there. You know, my family's going to be there. I'll make you guys even introduce you to my mom. So,
that's it. It's a family. Like Anthony said, it's a family atmosphere. We're family. Terrible Throwback's a family with the WPW, and we're just going to – it's a good relationship, and hopefully I wish you guys the best of luck, man. The venue, from what I've seen online, is fantastic. And we're stoked. Dave and I, we just spoke about it right before you called. Dave and I are absolutely stoked. So we'll see you on Saturday. And, again, tickets are still on sale. Go to WPWWrestling.com. Hit us up on the Facebook. If you you can't get in touch with Anthony, get in touch with us. We'll put you in the right direction. And it should be a great time.
Sounds good. See everybody Saturday, man.
All right, man. Have a good night, Ann. I'll see you Saturday.
You too. Bye-bye.
God bless. All right. That Dave, I'm sorry about that, man. I didn't hit the plus button. You there?
On hold.
Yeah, I had you on hold. My bad. The thing with Skype is if I don't push the plus button, I put people on hold. So,
okay.
All right, but I just, you know, we plugged the show, and I read the card off to him. And
I heard.
Oh, you heard? Good. Well, you have the feed on. How are we sounding? Are we sounding good?
Yeah, sound good.
All right, good. I apologize about that, sir. I'm.
I had to sit here listening to you guys watching this Dino Bravo match on the network.
All right, I apologize about that, sir. All right, let's get right back.
I'll give you.
No,
let's get Dash Wednesday.
Did you watch Raw the other night?
I saw the last hour.
All right, I'm not going to break down the entire card because I'm not going to bore people with this stuff. But I didn't like the Usos winning the belts. I told you I wanted them to hold out until Mania.
And they had a rematch on main event.
A main event that was live, and they did it live. What's up, Surfer? I'll give you the call and number in a few minutes.
But they didn't defend it against the
Outlaws. They did.
Oh.
Yeah, they did.
No, they had replacements.
Yeah, but they did a live feed on the network for main event because they're testing it for the WrestleMania. They're worried about the WrestleMania crowdedness, and we spoke about this a while ago. Like, how they're going to handle all that?
Yeah.
So they've been showing the main. They're going to start showing more stuff live just to prime it to see how many people take it in.
Yeah, I really enjoyed it. I thought the main event last night was awesome. It wasn't, granted, it's just an hour show, but for what they were offering, it was fun.
Yeah, you know what? I saw again. I didn't like the Usos winning the belts on Raw. I want them to hold out until Mania.
Yeah.
I thought the Triple H Daniel Bryan segment was decent.
Yeah, it was okay.
Again, I'm a story guy, and you got to sell me on the story. You have to sell me on the story, and if it tells a good story. I mean, listen, here's the deal. And for all the kids that are crying about fucking Daniel Bryan not being in the main event at WrestleMania, I can't stress to you enough that they've given this guy every single opportunity, and he's taken it. He's over. They love him. He can work. He doesn't have to have a title to be over. And we spoke about this a couple of months ago, how titles are not as significant as they were when I was younger watching wrestling.
No, I just think people want him to have the belt, just flat out. And I'm going to make a prediction. I'm going to say that he will win the WWE Championship at WrestleMania 30. I think they're going to do like a Hulk Hogan WrestleMania 9 deal. He'll get the belt.
Like a thing where like Batista winning it and then Bryan comes out and takes it from him?
Something like that. Something's going to happen. This is like, Plan 9 from Outer Space. Criswell is predicting. Davewell, Mega Powerswell is predicting. He will get the championship at WrestleMania 30 some way, somehow. Hulk Hogan WrestleMania 9 style.
Again, I'm not worried about it, man. I mean, wrestling fans have to sit back and take this in for a little bit. You don't have to put the belt on every guy, man. It's not, And look what happened to CM Punk. He won the ladder, the Money in the Bank matches, won the belt, took it from him. They kept knocking him down, ECW, knocking him down.
Yeah.
And then what happened? He was the top dog in the company.
I think it's just been going on for way too long with this dude. And that's why people are just kind of fed up. Because it's been going on for over a year now.
Again, I'm not worried about it. Speaking of CM Punk, Paul Heyman's promo was pretty funny.
Yeah, that was unreal. And the fact that he just went old school with the reason why he's not a part of Raw is
because of all of you. I knew that was coming, though, man. But they wanted to have Bad News Barrett say, "Would it please me? But I got some bad news for you." if they
well, him. What they could have done was have him introduce. Heyman to come out or something like that. But I think just the fact, especially how riled up the fans are at this point, the fact that Heyman came out on his own was just fine enough.
Yeah.
And did the job. Everybody thought he was there. Yeah. And there was been I don't know if you know, but on the WWE official Instagram account, like for a very brief time, they had a photo of Punk, you know, saying that he was going to be there that night, and they took it off fairly quickly. And there was speculation about whether or not he actually was going to show up.
Well, speaking of CM Punk, according to insiders, and I love when they say this on these dirt sheets.
Insiders.
According to the insiders, CM Punk is mentally done with wrestling.
What is this, like Bobby the Brain Heenan's, you know, his buddies in the back or some shit like that? A guy like Punk, for all the efforts that he's put into pro wrestling, I don't think the dude's done. Not by a long shot. He's too young.
Yeah, whatever, dude. I don't care at this point. I'm happy that CM Punk had his spotlight. I'm happy he did what he did. I was glad to see him at his height. I was glad to see him in Ring of Honor. If he walked away from wrestling tomorrow, I'd be a little bummed, but I'd get over it. It wasn't like a thing where, listen, he was their longest reigning champion. Think about that.
25 years or something like that?
In the last 25 years, their longest reigning champion, a year and a half.
So he beat JBL.
But the thing is, people are like, oh, well, you know, he needs to get back on top, put the belt on him. No, he doesn't. The fans need to step back and take a look at the bigger picture. You don't have to tell a story in 6 weeks. You could tell a story in 6 months if you play it right.
Yeah.
Okay? And just whatever. And he took his ball, went home with it. Of course, and you guys, if you listen to the show regularly, you know that I'm not a big fan of taking your ball and going home with it.
Well, Steve Austin cites that his time of taking the ball and going home was one of his biggest regrets.
Listen,
so, you know, I can see the same with CM Punk, but he's a similar guy, but he's different. So we'll see what happens. I guarantee he'll be back. The contract ain't up.
It's up in July. And you know what? I'm not a big fan of taking your ball and going home while you're still on the contract.
Yeah.
If you're beat up mentally, physically, you know, don't just go home. Talk to somebody. Maybe he did talk to somebody. Why do you think WWE has not been acknowledging this publicly? Really, the only thing I heard public was Jim Ross was on Opie and Anthony's show.
Yeah, but he's not a part of WWE.
I understand that, but he's still a quote-unquote insider. He's close to what's going on.
Oh, so he's one of them insiders.
Well, I mean, technically. I mean, the man was talent promotions guy for, you know, for fucking 20 years. Whatever the hell is – listen, and that's the thing. If I get years mixed up, I'm not one of these guys that read Wikipedia. I do it by memory. If I say something wrong, it's not that far off. And if it is, I'm sorry. I started drinking a little while ago, and I've been up since 4 o'clock this morning.
Oh, my God. You've been hanging around Mike Slobbendonger lately?
Speaking of Mike Norengonger, who's a big fan of Extreme Rising, and I'm not. Good segue there, partner. Extreme Rising canceling their shows again. Not only that, they're now offering free admission to other indie shows where their talent goes. Case in point, last week they canceled their show, and they have a title match in another promotion. In ECWA, Stevie Richards drops the belt.
Sounds like TNA.
Right. Stevie Richards drops his belt to Luke Hawks. And now this weekend out here in Staten Island, Warriors of Wrestling, shout out to Joey B and the boys, they're having a show, and Stevie Richards is defending again. I mean, is fighting again. And if you had a ticket to the March 1st, it's like all of a sudden, I'm not drunk, Tank. If you had a ticket to the March 1st show, then you can get in for that for free. But how do you have your champion drop a belt to another major star at another promotion show? The promotion is poorly ran. I'm living proof. I'm not going to piss and moan about it. For people who don't know, I bought a ticket to last year's WrestleMania weekend. They were supposed to come out here to Staten Island for a huge show. It took them 9.5 months to give me my ticket back.
Wow.
My ticket money back.
That's ridiculous.
And I wasn't so much mad about the money, because $50 is $50. I don't give a shit. The problem was they're fucking promoting other shows, like upcoming shows and TV contracts. And
they're using your $50 to do those shows.
So I wrote to this jerk off, this owner, and I'm like, dude, and I'll show the emails. I have living proof. I said,
who is the owner?
Steve something. I forgot his name. He's a jerk off. I wrote him an email.
Steve Jerkoff. I've never heard of that guy.
Steve Jerkoff, I can't promote shows from Philadelphia. Every time I wrote to this guy, he goes, oh, we'll have it back in 2 weeks, have it back in 2 weeks. Finally, I said to him, like, how do you promote shows to your fans when you haven't taken care of the fans that bought the iPay-per-views when they first came out, bought tickets to shows? I did all that. And now you're not gonna take care of the fans? Because why? So you won't, well, what about if I give you money for a ticket for another show? I don't want to go to another show. Give me my money back. And this guy took 9.5 months to give my money back.
Well, now you can go to free shows now.
Oh, fuck him. I wouldn't go to any. I wouldn't pay for anything they had. Anything. So whatever. I won't pay for another DVD. I won't pay for another, iPay-per-view. I won't pay for another ticket. I don't give a shit if all the dead ECW guys came back to life and resurrected for a reunion. I wouldn't care. I wouldn't care. I wouldn't go to their show.
Well, the Midnight Jury guys would definitely go. They love those dying organizations.
That's fine. And there's nothing wrong with you rooting for them. I'm just, again, it's just living proof on how these guys can poorly promote a show and fuck everything up. Speaking of indie shows, though, ECWA, we're big fans of ECWA. Our buddy Damian Dragon won the Super 8 tournament last year.
The tournament of the future stars.
The Super 8 has been announced this year for the 15th of April in beautiful Newark, Delaware. I only drove through it. I never actually hung out there, but I drove through it. It's nice.
Who wants to hang out in Newark, Delaware, other than for a Super 8 tournament?
Well, either way. Let's see. Super 8. M-Dog, Matt Cross is in it. KO Storm, Steve Walters, John Skyler, Ricky Martinez, the King of the Midway, Oliver Grimsley. The former partner of Damian Dragon, the Vietnam Phenom, Matt Saigon.
Wait, the Vietnam Phenom? That's an actual guy's name?
That's what he's calling himself, yeah.
I need to see this guy. Yeah. Just on his name alone.
Hardcore independent legend Drake Younger has signed a developmental deal with WWE. Drake was on Signing Wizards a few months ago. Good guy. Nice interview.
Former.
Let's see. He signed a development.
One of the few CZW guys, original, I guess, CZW.
Yeah, guy. Original CZW guy. PWG, IPW. He was in IWA South, I believe. APW. Good dude, man. Cut his teeth in Japan.
Knew how to reinvent himself in CZW. Good guy.
Well, I'm happy. Listen, here's the thing. I gotta swig my cider. Anything that if you get signed now to a developmental deal with WWE, expect to be not your guy. I mean, he's a hardcore guy. They don't do hardcore wrestling anymore. They don't. Huh. So I don't know if they're gonna repackage him, if they're gonna make him another Sandman. I have no idea, but
yeah. Well, hardcore wrestling for the most part is it's a thing of the past to a degree.
Yeah, we got some.
It's fine, not WWE.
We got some UK fans on the Facebook page. Shout out to Harry and Baza, and they had a passing. A UK shooter legend Billy Robinson passed away on Monday at age 75. Dave and I posted some videos.
Ain't that some shit?
Well, dude, 75 years old, natural causes. Started the Wigan Snake Pit School, which included Carl Gotch. This guy was a legit shooter. All right. Former two-time AWA World Tag Team Champion, once with Vern Gagne, trained MMA legends Kazuki Sakuraba and Josh Barnett.
Mm.
And Billy Robinson will be missed. Billy Robinson will be a topic of an up-and-coming show. Dave and I spoke about him in length a few times already.
Yeah.
We're fans of the shooters. We're fans of the stretchers. We're fans of the guys that took it for legit and made sure that they reminded you that this is still wrestling.
That was the thing. A lot of dudes from the 30s and stuff, even in like Ed Strangler Lewis, those guys were all shooters.
And it is a travesty that a lot of these guys fall under the radar, mainly because of the – how do I want to say this? Because of – I don't want to say politics. I want to say the way the business has evolved. I hate using that word politics in pro wrestling because – a lot of it is politics, but
yeah,
it's these guys fall by the wayside sometimes. So, you know, it shows like this that bring back the old school fantastic half-hour headlock stretch matches because it needs to be told. These stories need to be told. So, all right.
Somebody's got to keep history alive.
Yeah, listen, so our new boss lives near the TNA lockdown. This is going down this weekend, and if you're a fan of TNA, we're fans of TNA. TNA is going to have their pay-per-view in Miami this weekend down in lockdown. It's the only pay-per-view I buy. I'm not buying it this year because I'm poor, but I normally buy it every year. Well, I'll try to get it, as my son would say, get it on Philperview.
And we all know about Philperview.
We all know about Philperview.
That's how I do the chats sometimes.
Yeah, tune in Sunday evening on The Rant. I know the calling guys are going to be doing a preview show after Surfers. What are you reading? For Lockdown. Lockdown is fantastic. I'm a cage guy. Anybody who knows me, I'm a gimmick guy.
Are they still doing it where like every match is a cage match?
Yeah, dude. That's not bad. It's not bad.
And you got the Great Muta who's going to be in a cage.
No. Great Muta's not going to be in a cage. Great Muta did a one shot in Japan for an upcoming pay per view at Wrestle One. This is Lockdown. This is something else.
Oh, I thought he was going to be at Lockdown.
No. I wish he was at Lockdown. Are you kidding me? Oh. Sam Shaw versus Mr. Anderson. I don't like the whole gimmick with him stalking Christy Hemme because he's not relevant. I don't even know. I mean, Sam Shaw, who's Sam Shaw? Like, I know who he is, but really, like,
Christy Hemme isn't really relevant anymore.
Christy Hemme is, but Christy Hemme is a focal part of the show. She's an announcer. So, I mean, like, this dude stalking her, like, what the fuck? Like, whatever.
Yeah. You know?
But the Lockdown card itself sounds pretty good. Angle's fighting EC3. Here's another thing that bothered me about Angle. They put him in the Hall of Fame, right? They taped 1,700 episodes of Impact in England for the next till like March, right? Till like now, right?
So what are the TNA guys going to do? They're just going to hang out until March comes around,
dude. So they have a ceremony for him in Japan without the boss being there, right? Yeah, Sam Shaw won gut check. I forgot. Whatever, dude. Who the fuck is Sam Shaw? Nobody cares.
I didn't know who Sam Shaw was.
I knew. I forgot who he was. He's not relevant, though. He's not relevant. Maybe Muta is at Lockdown. I have no idea. I know that that they have a to be announced with the team, and I'll announce that in a second. But getting back to Angle, they put Angle in this Hall of Fame ceremony. They give him a watch. That's it.
No. So wait, they give him a gold watch, kick him in the butt, and then the computer takes his job?
I said, that's your job, baby. That's your job. The computer took your job.
Oh, God.
Living on the end of a lightning bolt. Now.
So they gave him a different kind of dusty finish.
Yeah. So now it's Gunner's fighting James Storm. That's good. Madison Rain, Gail Kim, nobody cares. Here's what I want to see. Team Dixie. It's Bobby Roode, Austin Aries, and the Bromans versus Team MVP, which is MVP, the Wolves, and to be announced. I guess to be announced would be the Great Muta. I'm not sure.
I could have sworn there was a photo of him saying that he's going to be at Lockdown.
Right. Here's the thing. I don't care about women's wrestling, and I don't like the fact that they had all these title changes in Japan, and they have to explain it now on up and coming shows because they can't keep, like, the Wolves lost the belts, but they're still gonna have the belts.
So like, wait, everybody lost their belt in Japan?
Yeah, it's ridiculous. It's ridiculous. But again, this is the only.
They just aired the fucking show.
Maybe the chat room can help me. One of the first couple of lockdowns was, I know it was like Triple X versus Chris Harris and James Storm, I believe it was, and Elix Skipper did a fucking.
No, that was.
It wasn't Ultimate X. It was definitely Lockdown.
No, it wasn't Lockdown.
Are you
sure? It was another thing,
dude.
It was the second pay per view.
Was it the second pay per view?
Bound for Glory and then something else. Lockdown wasn't announced until later on.
I don't know, but
that's somewhere in the house. I don't recall what it was called. I'll try to look for it right now.
If you can find that for me, let me know. I love that, man. I can't really shit on TNA because they have good stuff. I mean, everybody's like, they're going to go out of business. They're going to go out of business. Yeah, 10 years later, they're not out of business.
No, they're close to being out of business.
Yeah, they were close to being out of business.
Turning Point.
A year ago.
Turning Point was the pay-per-view.
Yeah, the Bromans did get the belts back, but now they have to explain this on. I I get confused because I just I hate reading dirt sheets, man. I wish we still had like the back of the newspaper.
Yeah.
Yeah, it was Alex, America's Most Wanted versus Triple X, but and I'm in the chat room, but like I don't know if it was a lockdown, it was a kid. That was those first couple of cage matches were, you know, were good, man. They have good stuff. I mean, you have to give it a chance, you know.
Okay.
And anybody shitting on the Muda, anybody shits on Muda, man, you're gonna get. I wish I can boot you out of the chat room. Can't shit on Great Muda. We're big fans. We're big fans of the Great Muda.
So the match for lockdown is Bad Influence and Chris Sabin versus Great Muda, Sonata, and Tiger Uno.
Right, and Austin Aries lost his I believe he lost his what do you call it title too, his X Division title.
Yeah, he lost it to Sonata.
Sonata's fantastic.
Yeah.
I like Sonata.
That match with AJ Styles was fantastic.
Speaking of AJ Styles, guy does the Styles Clash on people for 10 years. He leaves ring. He leaves TNA and he hurts two people.
So wait, what is this, like the Billy Kidman angle from SmackDown?
No, dude, he legit hurt people. He hurt Roderick Strong. He broke some other dude's neck over the weekend, like two broken vertebrae.
Are you kidding me?
What the blood clot is that all about? You know. I don't understand. It's time for a new move, Cha-Cha. It's time for a new move. Well, time for a new fucking finisher.
You're still doing that, right?
I don't know, but like if you're breaking people's necks like after 10 years of doing a move, you might want to, you know.
Yeah, but isn't he just like falling on the guy's like, you know, body? You know, how can somebody snap their neck doing that move?
Dave, he's been out of fucking Ring of Honor for 6 weeks, okay? He's at 6 weeks, Dave, and he hurts two people already? Come on, dude.
I don't know.
He's not a rookie, brother. He's not a rookie. He's not a rookie. All right? Let's not get this twisted. We got Facebook questions?
Yeah, I believe so.
You want to get those out or what? Are you
Yeah, I can't remember where the Del Wilkes question was, but I remember it offhand. What is it? Our boy Eric was asking about what was up with the Patriots' run in the WWE. I do have an answer for that. I remember Cornette did a shoot interview talking about that specifically. Basically, what it came down to was, according to Cornette, of course, WWF at the time was more focused on Sable t-shirt sales to really, you know, knock down Pat, you know, the whole Patriots storyline. Because if you remember that, you know, he came in to much hype. He pinned Bret Hart. But then after that, like, the dude just got jobbed out left and right. So according to Cornette, it was just a matter of, you know, the brass really not giving a shit and just, you know, focused on marketing Sable in her t-shirts. So that's what happened to Del Wilkes in the WWF.
Lopez wants to know, here's my question. Why has John Cena never been booked in a blindfold match? Seems like it's been a no-brainer. You can't see me. Because the first one sucked, and we'll talk about that in a little while.
I loved the first one.
I know. You and fucking Tony Z. I don't understand. I don't understand the...
So you actually disagree with Tony Z?
Yeah, I told you that. I didn't like that shirt. I mean, that match.
The photo?
What do you call it? I don't like that the shirt-looking thing over his head, the bag they had over his head.
I just thought it was hilarious. You know, I watched it yesterday on the network, and we'll get to that later on. We'll talk about it later. Anyway, I don't know why Cena hasn't been in a blindfold match, just because it's fucking, I don't know. They're out of touch. They're out of touch with everything. So, of course, they're out of touch with doing a blindfold match.
All right. Well, here's the deal. Leave John Cena alone, too.
Yeah.
And I mentioned this a few weeks ago. I mentioned it on Will's call-in show. Here's my thing, and you know, and we spoke about this on Saturday. I spoke about this with you in length, with the Wizards, all that nonsense. Here's the deal: you really can't, you know. I the reason why guys and Lopez was screaming about this on his little show he had. I just played it on the way home tonight. You know, he
still
like,
had like fucking wind tunnel and the fan in front of him.
Yeah, he does it from his car, apparently, whatever. But anyway, he. You know, he's like, why are these guys getting buried? Ziggler and you know, Damian Sandow and all these other guys and blah, blah, blah. I'm like, listen, here's the deal. He's a virus. He's a cancer. I heard all this crap too the other night, too. Ironically, though, all the guys that he fights are not on TV that much anymore. That's not his fault. Okay? And I said this, too. Who else are you going to put on the cereal boxes? Who else are you going to put on 17 T-shirts? Who else are you going to put with the crippled kids with the Make-A-Wish Foundation? No, seriously, though.
Yeah, it's true.
Right. Do you know why it's a stale product? Because they're afraid. WWE is afraid. They're afraid to market the next guy because they know they made an ass ton of money off Cena, and they're going to wring him out like a sponge until they get enough money and merch out of him.
Yeah.
Okay? That's the bottom line.
So, well, WWE has always played it safe, period.
And that's how – and now you know why Vince McMahon is on the Forbes list.
And the only time the dude – well, he even goes on record for saying, you know, if he's going to take a risk, it's going to be a calculated risk, which, you know, to his credit, worked for him because he waited for other promotions to do it first so then he could take their concepts and, you know, do what he will with it. And, you know, so I'm sure some people were ticked off about the whole hardcore title and all that kind of stuff. Like, oh, it's a joke. You know, compared to what we saw on ECW, but then they started doing shit like TLC matches, and we all love those. Money in the Bank. So there you go.
And I just feel like they are afraid to put Dolph Ziggler on a cereal box. They're afraid to put Damian.
He's the show off. Actually, before the interview that I went on today, I made sure to listen to his theme song before I walked into the office.
Again, I don't see anything else. Right now, I don't see. Do I want Ziggler on top? Absolutely. Do I want Sandow? Was I pissed when Sandow won the Money in the Bank? Of course I was pissed because I knew he wasn't going to do anything with it.
Wait, does he still have the Money in the Bank?
No, he lost it the next night. He lost. He cashed in. He lost to Cena.
So he's like the first guy to ever cash it in and not win.
I think him and Cena were, I believe. Who was the? I forget. Chat room, remind me. But I think it's him and Cena, or just him. I'm not sure. But
I think it was just him.
Might have been.
You're damn right. I'm here to show the world, kid. All
right, listen. We're gonna take a quick break. I'm gonna play some plugs. I gotta hit the squirter, and we'll be right back. We got a kick-ass throwback, and maybe we'll take some calls. All right.
Yeah.
Listen to the Turnbuckle Throwbacks live on the RantEMRadio.com, and we'll be right back. You like the logo on the show? Well, we put the logo on a T-shirt. Go to prowrestlingtees.com/turnbuckle throwbacks and buy the shirt. The shirt is cheap, and it helps the show with original artwork by Dean Stahl. So what the hell are you waiting for? prowrestlingtees.com/turnbuckle throwbacks. Buy the shirt. Buy the shirt. Buy the shirt!
The following is a paid advertisement from Don Tony and Kevin Castle. The self-help seminar depicted in this program may not intend to provide any such benefit.
Has wrestling become boring for you? Find yourself ashamed to talk about it amongst your peers at work? Do you often think that maybe Nancy deserved it? Hi, I'm Anthony Black, and I'm here to tell you that you may be suffering from a serious wrestling dysfunction known as Russoitis. Russoitis is the leading cause of impotence in wrestling fans and has also been linked to abnormal levels of patience for obviously crappy gimmicks and angles. But don't worry, there is hope for you yet. Don Tony and Kevin Castle are here every Monday night to help you through this debilitating infliction with their deep insights and personal advice.
I could touch my entire ass.
Don Tony and Kevin Castle have literally helped hundreds of thousands of fans come to terms with their wrestling dysfunction, and they can help you too.
I'm a retard.
But don't take my word for it. Listen to some testimonials from the people once afflicted by Russoitis.
I have been listening to Don and Tony and Kevin Castle for about 6 months now. Thanks to them, I now know more about wrestling and stuff. Me and my boyfriend, thank you, Don and Kev.
I've been listening to Don, Tony, and Kevin Castle for a while now. I only started because whenever I watched wrestling, I went to fucking kill someone and smear their brains on a wall. Now, thanks to them, They're in more control and at peace with some of the horrid booking I see on TV. Thank you, Don and Kev. Fuck, 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 Kale, fuck!
So don't just sit there. Go to wrestling-news.com and take part in The Cure every Monday night after Raw. Common side effects of listening to Don Tony and Kevin Castle include, but are not limited to, high and low blood pressure, excessive happiness, depression, heartburn, heartworm, gonorrhea,
allergenic reactions, photogenic memory loss, blood and stool in urine, weight loss, weight gain, dilated pupils, sinus infection, crabs, discoloration, rash, unnecessary roughness, high gap penalty, club foot, herpes, blindness, decrease.
Hey, it's your boy, the Impact player, Mr. Phil Rea, inviting you to go to ShiningWizardsNetwork.com to check out my boys, the Shining Wizards. They're four tools from Jersey who talk about the good, the bad, the ups and downs of professional wrestling. And, of course, they always piss somebody off in the process. But they're always going to make you laugh. Check them out exclusively on the Shining Wizards Network. Go to ShiningWizardsNetwork.com. ShiningWizardsNetwork.com. Entertainment here. Hey, monkeys, check out The Bloke Show. It's a weekly podcast with dedicated topics for fans of cartoons, movies, comics, wrestling, music, and plenty more. Join them for a laugh at the world each week with the news you won't see on TV, from Florida to France to Fremantle. Where the hell is Fremantle? Rotating wrap-ups with top five picks and pans, and everybody's favorite, Marry, Fucking, Kill, or Fuck, Marry, Kill. The Bloke Show is a friend of the Turnbuckle Throwbacks Wrestling Podcast, and a member of the Atomic Geeks Network. Find them at theblokeshow.libsyn.com, iTunes, Stitcher, and your mom's basement. This is Dustin Rhodes, the Bullet of Woods, the three-time world heavyweight champion, baby. And when I'm not getting funky like a monkey, when I'm not looking for baby doll, and when I'm not getting my ass kicked by the four horsemen, I'm listening to Mega Powers Radio, baby, on geeksoftheindustry.com, iTunes, Stitcher, and at the end of a lightning bolt. Ooh, blue-eyed soul, Dustin Rhodes getting funky like a monkey with the Mega Powers Radio, if you will. Hey, it's your boy, the Impact player, Mr. Phil Rea, inviting you to listen to The Midnight Jury. Mike Dorengonger and Adam Henning host The Midnight Jury, a podcast that transports you back to the last old-school generation, my generation. They debate in detail 80s and 90s pro wrestling, horror movies, and pop culture. Before the internet, before Blu-ray, before cell phones, there was the last old-school generation. Check out The Midnight Jury on the Shining Wizards Network, ShiningWizardsNetwork.com. Entertainment here. Hey, it's your boy, the Impact player, Mr. Phil Rea from the Turnbuckle Throwbacks Wrestling Podcast. When you're done with our show, head over to the Shining Wizards Network, ShiningWizardsNetwork.com, home to many great shows covering a variety of topics, including pop culture, heavy metal, music, sports, television, movies, and of course, wrestling. Shows like The Fallen Angels, Stickman and Apex Radio, The Wolfman Jack Foley, Just Incredible's Pro Wrestling 101, The Midnight Jury, Two and a Half Wrestlers, of course, us, the Turnbuckle Throwbacks, The Neckbreaker Podcast, and of course, The Shining Wizards. So what are you waiting for? Go to ShiningWizardsNetwork.com right now. Shining Wizards Network. Entertainment here. As soon as you're done with the Turnbuckle Throwbacks, head over to rantemradio.com. That's right, rantemradio.com. We got you covered all week. You got the rant live every Tuesday at 8 p.m. You got the Turnbuckle Throwbacks every Wednesday at 9 p.m. You have the Wrestling Call-In Show every Saturday at 11 p.m. And on Sundays, it's What Are You Reading with the Surfer at 6 p.m. It's the opinions you love, the history you crave. It's Rant EM Radio.
India. Echo. Lima. Delta. Shield.
All right. Mega Power, you there, baby?
Yeah, I'm here.
All right, welcome back.
We're live.
www.rantemradio.com. Join the chat room. The Shining Wizards Network presents the Turnbuckle Throwbacks. Hour number 2.5. I don't know what the hell. Yeah, we're about an hour in.
It's like an hour and 5 minutes.
Yeah, man. All right, so there's your promos. I didn't get a chance to make a whole bunch of them more. I know Wrestling Soup is back. Congrats to Mission Joey. They took Black History Month off, apparently. They were off like a month.
They were off for a month? Are they black guys?
No, not at all. Not at all. They just play one on TV.
So they're just lazy white people then.
Yeah, pretty much. Shout out to Wrestling Soup, Mission Joey, my boys. Shout out to NXT Cast, Metal Thunder Radio. There's a whole bunch. I'll plug them later on. All right. So we're back. Welcome back.
We're back.
I like we can take a break, take a squirt. I like that. Play commercials. Like I recorded commercials. I sound a little professional now, huh?
Yeah.
Ah, moving up in the world there, Mega Powers.
Yeah, you know, one rung at a time.
Right.
As George Jefferson would say.
The grits don't burn the kitchen, bitches.
Yeah.
All right. All right, I'm looking at the chat room. Right, the first thing I look at, Tony say, Luger is a better champ than Cena. Oh, please.
Tony Cena.
I can't even debate this right now because we have a throwback to do.
Wow.
I can't even go and get me started. All right. So.
You know what? I actually agree with him. I agree.
Lex Luger, the million-dollar body with a $5 brain.
Hey, he had a good match somewhere.
I just watched what was that one? When he fought Stan Hansen with the Texas Bull Rope match, was that
the Lariat match?
Yeah, that wasn't Halloween Havoc, was it? No, that was shit. Wrestle War, I think it is. I forget.
It was either Wrestle War or Great American Bash.
No,
I saw it recently as well.
No, it wasn't the Bash. It was definitely because it was it was Stalking. It was with the Black Scorpion.
Sting, I'm coming for you.
That was That's with the Pat O'Connor.
Gotta say, you know, I got to say, since fucking network has gone down, I've just been watching so much shit and doing absolutely nothing.
No.
that, like, it's all blending into one event, all these matches.
Dude. No, it was definitely it was Starcade or whatever it was.
Team Canada.
Remember the Russians, the hairy Russian guys with the big ball bags? The dude didn't wear any jock straps. They had like.
Yeah, I have a funny feeling those dudes would have really like fucked up shit if this was like an actual like shoot fight or something like that, you know?
Dude, that one guy was like almost 3 bills. The big dude, he would have fucking ripped some people's faces off.
Oh, God. Yeah. I think it's funny that everybody that's, you know, part of our clique is all watching like the same shit. Like everybody's going right to Great American Bash 91, Starcade 90, all the Wrestle Wars, you know, all that shit.
Right. And you know what? It was funny because, you know, when I get downtime at work, I'm either doing show prep, looking for fantasy baseball players for my draft, or I'm watching the network, which is not very often. I don't get a lot of downtime at work.
Yeah.
But like,
exactly.
Dude, I'm like, the other day, I had a bad cold last week before the last episode, and I told you I stayed home from work, and it was like I had it on all day, like to the point where my wife came home from work, and I was streaming the live stuff for no reason. It was like, what are you doing? I'm like, just watching the network. She's like, what are you watching? I don't even know. I'm just watching the network.
It's just on. It's on all day. And
I could do it all. I don't care. And I hardwired my Apple TV, you know, the Ethernet cable, I plugged that shit in. I was like, dude, I'm not missing a thing. I'm not missing a thing, man.
Yeah, you know, what was it? I was listening to this one real quick because we got to get to WrestleMania.
Yeah.
I was listening to this Rowdy Piper interview on Alex Jones, and Alex Jones is like this big, you know, conspiracy theorist dude. And but Piper was talking about how, you know, TV sets back in the day were set up with this button called like the Brunswick button. And I guess if it was pressed or activated or something like that, it would just kind of, you know, seep out. You know, I don't remember specifically what he was saying, because I watched it earlier in the day, and I've watched so many events in the meantime. but he was talking about how, you know, like this fucking Brunswick button, like this, like, you know, mist or whatever comes out of the TVs, you know, from back in the day. And, you know, it would lead to people buying shit, you know, and all that kind of stuff. And I feel like there's something fucking hooked up to this goddamn network where since I got it, I can't turn it off. It's on all day. Even when I'm not home, it's on in some fashion.
Exactly.
I'm, you know, interacting with people and I'm thinking about wrestling when I should be.
That's what Vince wants you to do.
Yeah.
That's what Vince wants you to do. He wants you to. He's like, you know, he's on your shoulder. He's like, buy this.
It's like They Live. You know, like what was it when he put on the sunglasses and the dollar bill said, "This is your god." And that's how I feel about the network. It's my god now.
That's awesome.
No, it's not awesome.
Get over yourself. It is awesome. Get over yourself.
It's way over the top.
All right, so it's WrestleMania season, and Dave and I were like, you know. What we do, if you guys know us long enough, you heard us talk on the show. What we do is we swap content back and forth, whether it's through text messages or Facebook or whatever it is, and we go back and forth. And do you want to do this? You want to do that? I'm very partial to the first three and maybe even four Manias, so we'll save that towards the end of the month, maybe.
Or yeah.
We'll get a consensus, but I've been giving Dave the ball a little bit because I feel that. You know, not because he's my partner, but he's you know, and I'm not kissing his ass because, you know, I don't have to, but he's
the Mega Powers Kiss My Ass Club.
I'll give you something to kiss there, Chachi.
Whoa!
But the thing is, if he wanted to do seven and work our way down, I'm like, that's not a bad idea because like people shit on eight. I liked eight. I really liked nine.
On eight. I hear a lot of people say beautiful things.
Well, I'm sorry. I 8 was good, 9 was bad, like 11 was bad, you know, like they go back and forth. Like I loved 8, I loved 9. I didn't really love 7, but watching it again brought me back to a really good place in my life, and
it's a really solidly booked card.
That's the thing too, and there was so much going on behind the scenes with this particular WrestleMania. No, I'm not retiring, and Powers is taking over. He's being groomed.
Yeah.
How am I going to retire? I just started, man. You fucking savage.
It's time to pass the torch, Phil.
Go start your own podcast, all right, Mr.
Being Hogan about the whole situation.
Yeah. God, imagine. Yeah. Anyway, I'm not going to do any sex tapes either. Anyway, but there was so much going on behind the scenes with this Mania. And let's get right into it. The tagline, as Dave mentioned before, was Stars and Stripes Forever. This was the only Mania that needed a venue change.
Yeah.
To
a smaller venue.
They stated the reason for the venue because it was security concerns with the wake of Sergeant Slaughter doing the whole Iraqi sympathizer thing because of the Gulf War going on.
Well, hey, he burned the Hulkamania shirt, the Hulk Rules shirt. So, of course, I would want to be in fear of my life if I did that.
But in reality, it was poor ticket sales. That's what, and it had a major difficulty like filing.
Whoa, absolutely not! It was the whole Iraqi thing. Desert Storm was raging.
They couldn't sell 100,000 seats. They couldn't. So he moved it across the street. Phil's giving up.
So
his
that's
spot,
what people
Tony,
do when
says.
They can't sell enough tickets. Why didn't Extreme Rising or TNA do that? Go across the street.
Yeah, where to the bodega?
Yeah, that would fit in enough TNA fans. You could get the Midnight Jury in there.
Oh,
all three of them.
Will you stop picking on our boys, man? All right, Tony C says, Phil's giving up his spot. Not a spot. Not a liver spot. And remember that Nitro when he made fun of the Horsemen?
Yeah.
All right. Okay. We're moving away from it. So he couldn't sell the 100,000 seats. How about Willie Nelson singing America the Beautiful? Wearing every piece of swag that they were pawning that night.
Well, do you know about the story with Willie Nelson concerning WrestleMania?
I don't even love country music, but Willie Nelson's the man. What story do you have about Willie Nelson?
Well, one of the tag belts went missing that night. He was partying with the Nasty Boys. And the following day, one of the tag belts was missing, and it was in Willie's possession.
This had to be after, because the Nasty Boys...
Yeah, it was after WrestleMania 7. Okay. But they were partying that night with Willie Nelson.
Why wouldn't they? He smokes weed. He's a pothead.
Then he fucking took one of their tag belts, you know, after the whole thing was done, and they were missing the tag belt, so they had to get it back from him.
Fantastico. All right, He was wearing every piece of swag they were pointing at that night.
Yeah.
Like everything. He had every t-shirt on. He had like 17 t-shirts on, right?
The foam championship belt. He had the Hitman sunglasses, the Hogan bandana, the long sleeve WrestleMania souvenir t-shirt.
He had a championship belt. It was it was awesome, dude. It was fantastic. This was actually another thing I don't know if you guys know about, but this was the first WrestleMania not to have Jesse Ventura on color.
Yeah, which was a disappointment for me.
Yeah.
But he went to WCW, even better.
Yeah, well, he did with Tony Schiavone. No, I'm sorry.
And Jim Ross, when Jim Ross, like, no-sold him on everything that he did.
So Gorilla Monsoon was stuck with Bobby Heenan and Jim Duggan. In addition, he had Regis Philbin.
And Lord Alfred Hayes.
And then he had
Regis Philbin.
And Marla Maples in the back with Alex Trebek doing the ring announcing.
Yeah.
Celebs in the audience were George Steinbrenner, Paul McGuire, Donald Trump, Lou Ferrigno, Chuck Norris, The Fonz, Henry Winkler, and, of course, Macaulay Culkin was, like, 10 at this point. And he was, like, in every picture at ringside.
They only had that one photo of him at ringside. And they didn't even call him by name.
They had him. He was on like the last couple matches. They kept showing him, and they kept making fun of his name and stuff like that. At one point,
he doesn't want to be home alone with Mel Phillips or whatever that line was.
Oh my! Can you? Oh, another Mel Phillips reference.
Well, hey, you can't see him on TV anymore, so somebody's got to bring him back.
Obviously, the two main events in this year's Mania from 1991 was Hulk Hogan and then champion.
Why didn't we do a show on him?
What's that?
Why didn't we do an episode on him for Black History Month?
Mel Phillips?
Yeah.
You idiot. You're an idiot. I gave you Virgil, right?
Yeah, we could do, Buck Zumoff along with him.
Right. Anyway, so your two main events were Hogan and Sergeant Slaughter, the Iraqi sympathizer, and the Ultimate Warrior versus the Macho King.
The career-ending match.
Right. So the story builds up. Hogan beats the Warrior for the championship at Mania a year earlier. Now it's 1991. He's the champion. Sarge returns to the WWF after spending 5 years in the AWA. That was the drizzling shits, by the way. Thank God for ESPN, because that was fun. That was good television, even though it was terrible. When he returned his character, he became an Iraqi sympathizer with General Adnan. You know him better as Sheikh Adnan Casey, as the U.S. was going into the Middle East with the conflict that led to Desert Storm. He became a contender for the Warriors title. At the same time, Savage was the king, and he was vying for the belt. He had lost to Hogan at WrestleMania 5 and began prodding the Warrior to give him a title shot. When the Warrior refused at the Royal Rumble, Savage's interference from Sensational Sherry cost Warrior the title. Remember he cracked him over the head with that scepter?
Yeah, and fucking Savage came out like 7 different times to distract the Warrior.
Right. So the Warrior leaves the ring, chases Savage out, and you know how it goes. Now the match has been accepted. Now Hogan at this point gets into the Rumble, wins it for a second year in a row, tells Mean Gene at the end of the match that he was informed that Sergeant Slaughter... it was defacing the American flag.
I thought that was hilarious because there was no video proof of it. They just said, hey, he's defacing the flag. And he's like, what? What, brother? And then he just, like, stormed off. So,
right. So now he's going to stand up for his country. And why wouldn't he? It's 1991. He's a patriot. And
so somebody just has to deface a flag, and Hogan automatically gets a world title shot. You know, what is the world coming to?
I was in high school at this time, and it was a really rough time politically. And the country, everywhere you turn, there was yellow ribbons everywhere on people's poles, houses, and every kind of knockoff store, like from downtown Canal Street to Uptown in Harlem. You had in Brooklyn and the Bronx. You had all these little shops selling, like, you know, crap. Like,
well, hey, that was like the big time for trading cards, and they had Desert Storm trading
cards. I had those. I had the trading cards. They had a whole like collection of them. They had the mass murder.
Who the fuck puts out, you know, trading cards on a war?
Dude, you want to
hear? I thought they were an Iraqi war, you know, trading cards or World Trade Center trading cards.
Well, I was just about to get to that. If you guys don't know, I've been an EMT since 1999. And I had the unfortunate task of being down at the site for about 14 hours that day. I was redirected from Queens to Manhattan, and I had to go down there for about 14 hours. The next day, I was living in Brooklyn. I had a neighbor who owned a gas station on the corner, and like the next day, this jerk off was selling like fucking clocks and magnets and buttons and like. Meanwhile, I still have soot on my boots from like pulling out dead firemen, you know? And yeah. I walked up to this guy. I'm like, if you just enjoy God's gift of walking and you want to stay vertical, you might want to close shop up before I burn you and your house down. And I was dead serious, dude. I was so mad at him. And I was it was so upsetting, you know? So, again, the country's at war. Anytime this happens, when you could put something in real life to a wrestling storyline, it makes for good wrestling, no matter who's on the teams. But Hogan and Sergeant Slaughter tell a good story, and we'll get into that.
Which I was surprised.
I'm not surprised, because we spoke about Hogan in length when we had the Hogan show, and I said if you put Hogan with the right guy, it's entertaining.
I'll just say this real quick. You know, I just didn't feel, even as a kid, I didn't feel Sergeant Slaughter was the right guy. You know, granted, the guy looked old, you know, to begin with. But I just kind of like felt it this time. He didn't seem like a convincing world champion. Like, you know, it took Randy Savage, coming down the aisle 18 times to knock down the Warrior, hitting him with the fucking stage lights, for Sergeant Slaughter to drop an elbow on him for the win. And I kind of like, I leading up to this match, it was the first time that I was not, you know, concerned as a child about Hulk Hogan losing a match, which, you know, that was the reason why I loved Hulk Hogan so much. Like, and you even talked about this too, you know, all the guys that are being thrown up against him seem like dudes that could beat him. I didn't feel that way about Slaughter.
I disagree. I thought at that point, Sarge, even though he was a little old in the tooth, he could still go. I don't know if he was a better champ than Cena, Tony C. They're fucking harsh on Cena, man.
Nobody's a better champ than John Cena.
I had no problem with it at the time. Again, I didn't. And now looking back at it, watching it as early as today, I still had no problem with it. So let's get right into the matches.
Yeah.
There was a dark match. There was a dark match. Coco Beware beat Brooklyn Brawler. Do we care?
Well, there's no video evidence of this, so I can't comment on it.
I'm telling you, there's a dark match. When the Impact player tells you there's a dark match, it's a dark match. I don't have to.
I'm not disbelieving you, but
goddamn right, you better not.
You know, the Brooklyn Brawler lost to everybody, so I can't dispute you on that one. Coco Beware wins.
Coco Beware does.
I think it's the only guy that Coco Beware could have beat.
Yeah. Right.
Yeah.
You know what? The Rock has fought this night, Dave. They fought the Barbarian.
Tag team specialists.
The tag team specialists.
Yeah, let me say this about that whole tag team specialist, you know, nonsense. You know, granted, they were a great team. Monsoon always called them the tag team specialists, but, you know, even at this point, they never won the belts. How the hell can they be tag team specialists if they haven't won the belts? And I'm not counting the Saturday night's main event thing.
I put that. Yeah, there was some, like, I can't believe you said that, because I was that was in my notes.
If President Jack Tunney doesn't count it as a title match, I'm not counting it as a title win.
Right. Exactly. There was some. Remember that night they won the belts and they got there was some kind of controversy. Right. Am I right with that?
Well, that was the thing. They won the belts on Saturday night's main event, but it wasn't aired. Because, you know, of course, they're, you know, doing a TNA thing, and they were recording everything 4 months before ahead of time. The match was, the top rope broke. And which was funny, because actually the Hart Foundation won that fall. But then, the match continues. Rockers win. I think it was either in WWF Magazine or something, you know, President Jack Tunney refuted the title win, you know, awarded the belts back to the Hart Foundation. I'm pretty sure it was never mentioned on TV. And, you know, everybody went on with their business. And I believe the actual story behind it was Neidhart got injured or he needed some time off or something like that. So they were going to give the belts to the Rockers. But, you know, things didn't pan out that way. So yes. Hart Foundation are continuing WWF Tag Team Champions.
All right. Well, the Rockers beat the Barbarian and Haku at 10:41.
Which was an awesome match, by the way.
Yeah, it was decent. I don't have a problem with these guys.
I'll say this, you know, and, you know, I feel strongly with this match, and I feel strongly with a lot of matches on this card, which made it a solid WrestleMania. A lot of these matches were just like, you know, classic style matches. Like, this was like one of the first, I think this was the first time I ever saw a hot tag in my entire life. And it was just done so well, you know. I'll say Marty Jannetty's one of the best guys to do a hot tag in a match. And, you know, I felt like this match was like just a solid clinic. At this time, I was not a fan of Haku or the Barbarian. I thought their matches were absolutely boring until they were in WCW. Then I thought they were amazing. But anyway.
Yeah, no, it was a good match.
Yeah, it was a solid match. I would actually say that this was an upset victory for the Rockers.
Yeah, because they were overpowered. They should have been overpowered anyway by at least, I mean, the Barbarian was a fantastic tag team wrestler to begin with. Haku, we all know how Haku, the legend that was Haku. Good match. Almost went 11 minutes. The next match was a downer for me anyway.
Let's skip it then.
No, you can't skip your boy Dino Bravo.
I want to shoot my boy Dino Bravo, but somebody beat me to it.
Let me tell you something. I was a huge fan of Kerry Von Erich in the Texas territory with WCCW. I loved their feud with the Freebirds. I loved everything about, you know, World Class was a great promotion. We'll get into that in a couple of shows.
Yeah.
I couldn't get into Kerry Von Erich as the Texas Tornado for some reason.
Really?
I don't know why. I don't dislike him.
Even his match against Mr. Perfect.
Mr. Perfect, that was the only match I actually enjoyed because he was working with Perfect. But
yeah, that was a fantastic match. It was short. It was to the point. You know, with Kerry Von Erich's, you know, limited in-ring ability, they made it a good match.
Yeah. So this was a three-minute snoozer for me.
I actually thought this was okay, you know, for what it was. You know, it's Dino Bravo. Let's get him the fuck out of there. Hits the side suplex. Texas Tornado is the first man in history to kick out of that shitty move.
Yeah.
And you know, Dino Bravo goes to the second rope, trying to do some damage from there.
Yeah, man.
It's a hit with the claw, tornado punch, and the three counts.
Exactly. All right. Your next match was the British Bulldog defeating the Warlord with the
Reverend. I know Lopez wanted to hear our thoughts on this.
What did he want to know about the thoughts on the match?
Yeah, because apparently he loved this match.
It's two big stiffies. I like the Bulldog. I'm not a big fan of the Warlord. I liked him better as a tag team wrestler. I didn't like him as a singles wrestler. And I can't not like Slick. I love Slick. Slick was amazing. Slick did no wrong with me. One of my favorite managers of all time.
Dr. Style.
Dr. Style. So. Brother. Yeah. I like Davey Boy Smith. I have no problem.
Flame, how about Guarantee?
This went 8 minutes. Like this could these two times of the third and fourth match. Their match should have went 3 minutes and 11 seconds, and the Texas Tornado and Dino Bravo should have went 8 minutes and 15 seconds.
I don't know about that. You're getting ahead of yourself there, pal.
Well, I don't know. I disagree, but...
I'll say this. You know, for, you know, Bulldog, you know, he was one of those dudes who... I'll say this. He was good. He wasn't great. But he was put together with a lot of great wrestlers. He was hooked up with friggin' Dynamite Kid for the longest time.
Yeah, and the Bulldog was so big that you know, the Warlord couldn't get his hands in there for the full Nelson, dude.
Yeah, actually, I thought that was interesting because it seems like, you know, I know there's the 7 year rule of like, oh, we can rehash, you know, something every 7 years, and they fucking rehash the fucking full Nelson, you know, after what Hercules and what's his face, Billy Jack Haynes were doing it, and then Masterpiece was doing it later. But what the fuck is the deal with the full Nelson? Everybody like trying to claim nobody's broken the full Nelson. There's been a shit ton of guys who broke the full Nelson, and this was another case. And according to Gorilla Monsoon, he couldn't lock his fingers in.
All right.
Into his fucking braids, his braided hair.
I'm going to put you on the spot right now. Best full okay. Nelson, Ken Patera or Billy Jack Haynes?
I'll go for Ken Patera because he did the swing.
Absolutely. I agree.
Yeah.
I agree. Okay. Your next match was the last appearance of the Hart Foundation for a very long time.
Wait a second. I thought they were – no, they didn't – they weren't gone. I think this was probably like their last like aired match.
No. So, they broke up. This was their last hurrah.
But they had a match with the Legion of Doom.
No, they didn't. They helped the Legion of Doom win the titles.
Yeah, but they had a match with the Legion of Doom. It's on the fucking Road Warriors DVD set. And this was after WrestleMania 7.
This was the last appearance of the Road Warriors, bro. I mean, of the Hall Foundation.
Let me do a little.
I'm telling you. They defended their belts against the Nasty Boys. Nasty Boys had just come over at this point from, you know where, from the Midwest over there. Brian Knobbs and Jerry Sags. I didn't have a problem with the Nasty Boys for a couple of reasons. They can work. As big as
those
guys.
Yeah, back then they could work, not when they were on TNA.
No. Well, anyway, if I'm wrong about the Hart Foundation, this was their last title defense. This was their last time they were a team. They were champions. They had broken up. Brett had his singles run. And a couple of years later, Jim Neidhart hooked up with Owen. They wore those terrible
It was on WrestleFest. The date is December 3rd, 1991.
Okay. This is – really?
Yeah.
Oh. All right. Then I stand corrected. Then this was the last time they were champions.
Oh, wait a second. No. I stand corrected. It was March 12th, 1991.
All right, so then I was right there.
One of those backwards UK dates.
Thank you. All right, so I was fucking right.
But they didn't have the belts.
No, they lost the belts.
For that match with the Legion of Doom, they did not have the belts with them at ringside.
That doesn't mean they didn't defend them. In England, they call it a friendly, right?
It was one of those international matches. So, you know, stiffen the fans as usual all around the world.
Yeah,
even back in 1991.
They held the championship. Look, see, there you go. They held the championship twice in 91. They disbanded. Thank you, and drive through. Oh, please.
I don't believe that. I think there was another match after.
They just
that.
Put it up in fucking on the chat in the chat.
I don't trust that guy, Kid Human.
Will you stop? You fucking idiot! All right. So
I'll say this about the Nasty Boys. When I was a kid, they were bad influence on me. Me and my friends, you know, with our little, you know, backyard feds and all that kind of shit, we were, you know, sticking each other's faces in our armpits. I even remember as a kid specifically not washing my armpits so I could make sure to put one of my friend's faces in my armpits while it was nice and nasty and dirty.
Yeah, but, you guys didn't have sweat glands yet, so it didn't smell.
Yeah, it did.
You were little kids. Did you have pubes yet? Probably not.
I was this is WrestleMania 7, so I was 7 years old then.
Yeah, come on, man. Come on.
Still.
All right. So they
if you have children, don't have them watch Nasty Boys matches. Bad things will happen.
Axel says I
don't put the parental controls on your Nasty Boy matches for the network.
Axel says I thought Nastyville existed. It does, it's New Jersey. It's the armpit of America.
Hey now, wait a second.
Anyway, this is a very entertaining match.
Nobody's face was put into an armpit during this match.
No, but Jimmy Hart's biker helmet came into play.
They tried using the megaphone, and they fucked up with that.
Right, and then they used the helmet.
Then they used the helmet, and that finally did the job. And then Willie Nelson stole one of the tag team belts and got
wasted. High
later on.
Yeah, high. You're always on my mind.
Hey, he did that great song with Julio Iglesias, you know, All the Girls I Loved Before.
To all the girls I loved before, who traveled in and out my door. Like Willie Nelson, huh?
Yeah.
I'm getting it.
You're getting the Julio Iglesias, too. I'm sure Lopez will love that.
Yeah, we'll do a duet.
He's probably got that fucking cassette in his car doing the podcast.
All right, so they win the belts at 12 minutes and 10 seconds. Again, this was the last appearance of the Hall Foundation as the World Tag Team Champion.
So you say, self-proclaimed last performance of the Hart Foundation. I'm going to find something different. I know it.
Anyway.
One all of right. my favorite matches.
The next match was the infamous blindfold match. Listen, it was Jake the Snake Roberts versus Rick the Model Martel. I love both guys. Both guys were fantastic workers. The build-up to this match was awesome. The whole brother love thing with the...
Oh, yeah. Dude. Brothers and sisters!
Yeah, man. And he squirted him in the eyes with the arrogance and blinded him.
In the eye.
And they set up...
He was squirting the fucking snake bag. And then, you know, Jake had to be like, hey, stop doing that. That's my snake bag. And then he gets fucking squirted in the eye.
Oh, Christ. Anyway...
But all I gotta say is, you know, the blind leading the blind.
Yeah, this was
even a man knows we have five senses, but a snake, he has six.
That's right.
And the snake, we always do it better in the dark.
Right. Well, this was the blind leading the blind. This was 8 minutes and 34 seconds of
awesome match.
Yeah, dude. Again, not my favorite.
I thought it was funny watching this on the network. You know, now we got fucking WrestleMania 7 in HD, and now you can clearly see where, like, the eye holes were on the masks so they can move around and do what they had to do. But one of the reasons why I love this match was just as hokey as it was, it got the fans into it. It was just fun seeing them do shit like, you know, Martel bumping up against the ring post and like slamming a chair with it and hitting his hand. And I thought it was hilarious. I still love watching this match. And just how it was laid out, how it was performed. It was entertaining. It was fun. You know, it's not supposed to be a clinic here. It's WrestleMania 7 in 1991. It was fun.
Again, not a fan. I thought it was like just hokey and... You know,
you're not a fan of Virgil. What are you a fan of?
Do we have to go there? I'm a pretty good wrestling fan, sir. I just don't like sometimes hokey fucking matches. I'm sorry. So I'm doing the card, man. It was a fantastic card.
Yeah, but you're a Dusty Rhodes fan, and he had a friggin' gorilla with him in a cage for weeks on end.
Dude, Dusty Rhodes was a legend, iconic. Even in the polka dots, he was still the shiz. All right, you don't compare Dusty Rhodes to a blindfold match.
But he had a monkey with him, a guy in a gorilla suit.
Who cares? Who cares? Dusty Rhodes.
Jake the Snake.
Jake the Snake was amazing.
Rick the Model Martel.
And Rick Martel, another fantastic wrestler.
And one of my moves when I was, you know, when I wasn't, you know, putting my friend's face in my armpits, I was giving them Boston Crab. I love the model.
Yeah, my cousin Jimmy didn't like the Boston Crabs I used to put on him. All right, so that was a good match. Well, for you, it was a good match. Jake Roberts beats Rick Martel 8 minutes and 34 seconds. Gets his revenge.
And Marla Maples is in the dressing room with the Nasty Boys.
Yeah, Marla Maples is a tasty dish.
Well, she was with Trump, right?
She was.
Then she went on to the fucking Home Shopping Network selling earrings or whatever.
As my grandfather would say, she was quite the looker.
She was back then.
She was a piece of hein, all right?
She still is. She's quite the delish dish.
She was. The next match was the match of the night, Dave, clearly.
Wait a second. The next match?
Yeah. Oh, no. No.
Undertaker versus Superfly Snuka?
That was the match. No, I just skipped the match.
Yeah, skipped the match there, pal.
Yeah, Undertaker makes his WrestleMania debut, and he beats Jimmy Snuka.
I think Paul Bearer is a very sick person.
Oh, yes.
you know, who would have thought, like, The Undertaker of all guys, you know, having this match would lead to what it's led to right now.
That streak is kind of shitty, though. Think about it. He fought like guys like Bundy and he fought Snuka. He fought Giant Gonzalez. Didn't he fight the Boss Man?
Yeah.
He had some shitty matches in that streak.
Yeah, I'll give him, you know, the Michaels match. I'll give him some of the Triple H matches. What else can I give the guy? He's got some stuff that was worth talking about. Diesel, Sid, those were great matches. I think that was it.
All right.
He was going against Sting. That would have been a great match.
What, Sting versus Snuka?
No. Sting versus Snuka in a fucking Bible revival girl beat your girlfriend tag match.
Oh, Jesus. Ring the bell. Thank you.
This match is scheduled for one coffin, one funeral.
Right, exactly.
He beats one unpaid funeral.
All right, so he beats Jimmy Snuka to start the streak at 4 minutes and 20 seconds. 4:20, smoke him if you got him. Then, obviously... Well,
Willie Nelson was smoking him that night.
Yes.
That fucking tag belt out of it.
Willie Nelson was doing a bong out of the belt.
Shit.
Maybe
I wonder if he tried to switch the foam belt that he was wearing earlier with the tag belt. And he was like, oh, there's the tag belt. This fucking foam belt looking at you.
Now I know why he wasn't invited back. So,
well, let's see if he makes it into the Hall of Fame one of these years.
I'm sure he will. Yeah. The Warrior and Macho Man Randy Savage, the Macho King, I'm sorry.
My absolute favorite WrestleMania match of all time.
This is your favorite match of all time? Yeah, is it? We're going there already? Wow. I never knew that. Look at that. Okay. I have to pick one. I don't know if I have a favorite. For nostalgia, is this for nostalgia reasons?
This is just because, how can I word it? You know, Savage, in my opinion, you know, if there was ever going to be a guy who, you know, choreographed his matches over and over again to perfection, it was Savage. And, you know, even though he tried to fucking kill, you know, Ricky Steamboat.
What a bell. What a timekeeper's bell.
Just for... Not just nostalgia for who's in the match. I just thought how this match was laid out. It was just telling so many, like, they're just so, for me, there's just so much to contemplate with this match. We can break it down a little bit.
We should do that. We should pick our favorite matches and make one big mega card.
Yeah, and just dissect these matches. And, you know, I'm getting tongue-tied just thinking about this match, how good
it
is.
Well, it's 20 minutes and 47 seconds long. Here's the thing. I don't know. Again, this is the thing where the Ultimate Warrior was a lunatic at this point, and Savage, being the meticulous guy that he was, likes to plan his matches out. This is why guys like Savage, guys like Ric Flair, those guys that are meticulous – can work with the animals of the world. Like, that's why Ric Flair did so good with the Road Warriors, because, you know, that was a good fit. That's why, you know, Randy Savage did well with almost everybody he fought, because he was meticulous. He planned this stuff out. It was that kind of party.
A lot of those guys.
Undertaker, same thing. He likes to plan his matches out. He's very meticulous.
Yeah.
So now, the match is 20 minutes long. It's a fantastic match. I don't want to break down every single hold for hold.
I'll just get down to what I specifically loved about this match. Just from the entrances alone.
Yeah.
You know, something was up when Warrior's not shooting down the ring. And I love the fact that they were playing it out like, this is serious as shit. Somebody's career is coming to an end. I know that they were saying this was like the first retirement match. You know, Garvin and fucking Valentine had their little thing on Superstars. So this wasn't the first, but this was like the first of like a huge magnitude. And, you know, Warrior's fucking tights with the, you know, both of them wearing the belts on the back of the duster, you know, on the back of the tights. It said, you know, means much more than this. And I had a picture of the title on the back.
Right.
you know, just so much. And but one of the things that really, two of the things that really stuck out for me was, you know, for one thing, Warrior fucking hits him with five flying elbow drops.
I wrote that in my notes, taking five elbow drops. Warrior takes that. The crowd pans in on Elizabeth. Now we see Miss Elizabeth in the crowd.
But, I, you know, before I get to the other thing that really blew my mind, that was another thing. Fucking Heenan sees her at the beginning of the match. Keep in mind, you know, Heenan's like, you know, as far, you know, the far end of the ring as you can get. Elizabeth is almost by the entranceway. How the fuck does that dude see her? That's a bunch of bullshit. How the fuck did he see her all the way from, like, his seat? And he's trying to, like, you know, the camera's on him. He's trying to move his head around, like, oh, I see Elizabeth. You know, way to break kayfabe there, Bobby.
Anyway, I don't care about that stuff. That stuff, I mean, it wasn't that obvious. It's just something that we pointed out.
It was obvious to me. I'm like, how the hell
did this dude see her? Did you point it out when you were seven?
He's got the vision of a hawk, you know, seeing her that far away.
Like Dave said, he takes the five elbows. You know, I mean, obviously Warrior hits Savage with three shoulder tackles.
Actually, before that, he hits him with the gorilla press.
Yes.
And the splash.
And he kicks out of it.
That was like the first time I ever saw a heel kick out of a face's finisher.
One of the first times, yeah, sure.
Yeah. I think for me, that was the first time I saw that. I was like, heels don't kick out of faces finishers.
So
the fact that they kind of like threw that out there, that was like, whoa, what's going on here? It was a legit experience beyond my comprehension at the time. This was like a lot of first time things that were going on.
Right.
And it was one of those matches, even back then, I'm sure for a lot of guys that were around for a while, I don't know about you, you could tell me, it was hard to call who was going to lose this match.
That's what made it so appealing.
Yeah.
And I say that because you really didn't have a – after the second elbow, you knew, like, this was going to be good. And this wasn't like your generic I'm going to kick out of every spot. This ain't like a Spot Monkey ROH NXT match.
Yeah, so this was
like a legit back and forth. Like, I'm telling a story. Like, none of these guys wanted to quit. You could tell that this was very well – choreographed, and you could tell that this wasn't just guys going out there going, okay, we're going to do this spot and that spot. No, this was guys like planning it like out and practicing. So,
and another thing about that, like, it didn't seem like it was choreographed, even to the point of like when, you know, Macho King kicks out of Warrior's finisher, like, Warrior sells it. He's like, he's about to walk out of the fucking arena. As a kid watching this, I was like, what the fuck is going on? Why is he leaving? And, you know, Monsoon is just hitting the mark. He's like, Warrior speaking to the gods. Is this my destiny? Do I have it anymore? Right. Is it time for me to step down? And like him saying that, I was like, oh my God, he's gonna retire because Macho King kicked out of his finisher. I was like, what?
Right.
My emotions were, you know, at that age, I was about to have a nervous breakdown watching this match.
So Savage loses the match, right?
Unexpected.
Yeah, exactly. Sherry comes into the ring, starts attacking Savage, right? This prompts Elizabeth now, who's been noted in the crowd, as we said before, comes into the ring, fights off the former queen, and saves the Macho Man. Now, let me tell you this story now. Saturday night, I'm watching this for the first time in a while, and my wife comes in. And she says, what are you doing? I was like, I'm doing some show prep. And she's like, I get the network on again? I'm like, yeah. So now I need an excuse to – now I said, I have an excuse to watch the network. I'm doing, you know, show prep. So now she comes in at the time where Sherry's beating up on Savage. And I look over at the couch. My wife – you know how my living room is situated. I'm in my little easy chair. My wife's at the couch, and she's – I could see her getting, like lumpy in the throat, like emotional. Look over. I'm like, what are you doing?
What are you doing?
Right. She goes, I don't know. It's so compelling. It's like, it's like the coolest thing I've ever seen on wrestling. And like, I'm so emotional right now. I'm like, I'm looking at the calendar. I'm like, is it that time of the month? No. I'm like, what's wrong? You know? She's like, no. It's just, This is a good story. Look at this. It's like a feel good story. And she's like getting emotional, like upset. And I'm like, and like she's happy and sad at the same time. Mm. And dude, I was hysterical. But at the same time, this is the 7-year-old Mega Powers watching this, feeling the same thing.
Yeah.
Like this is what this match is one of the main reasons why I started doing this particular podcast.
Mm.
Because it tells a story. Now, do you want broads fighting at the end of every match? No. Has it been done before? It's been done 100 times. Ask Baby Doll and Precious. Ask the Divas. Ask all these other chicks. It's been done 1,000,000 times. The thing is, it tells a story. And that's what wrestling doesn't do well anymore. It doesn't tell
a
story.
One of the greatest stories ever told.
It's like, you know, you got this ADHD audience now, the internet wrestling community, and they poo-poo on everything. And, like, it's a bunch of shit. All right? But this set the stage for good wrestling for the year, actually, because this was like a, you know.
Actually, I want to cut you off real quick. Since we're talking about this match, I sent you the video. Can we play the Down the Pike promo?
Can we?
Do you have those capabilities for the live show?
Hold on 1 second.
Because this was my favorite promo after seeing this match. I was like, whoa. Unfortunately, it's not on the network. It was only on the Coliseum video, which was strange because Coliseum video edited the Warrior Savage match on the VHS.
No, I can't. I can't play it because I was. It's I can't.
I'm gonna post it for everybody to watch.
What I'm gonna do is until I get this audio thing figured out. Whenever Dave wants me to play a clip or I want to play a clip, I'm gonna turn the YouTube clip into an MP3 and I'll just play it like that.
Yeah.
So the next week, if we want to play clips, I'll do it like that. This way, we just put it into iTunes and we'll load it up. I apologize. But Dave will put it on the page. I think it's on. That was a Daily Motion clip, right?
Yeah.
Okay. So Dave will put it on the page. It's no big deal.
I'm surprised I found it because actually, I want to bring this up real quick. There's actually a segment of WrestleMania 7 that's not on. It's not on the network. It's not on Coliseum Home Video. But there was actually a segment during the live pay-per-view where they were it's almost unwatchable. I think it was like a good 10 minutes or more. I'm guessing at the time they were there was arguments about whether or not to get slow motion or replay in baseball or football or something like that.
Right.
So they spent a good like 10-11 minutes on WrestleMania 7 doing this horrible like skit about using replay for baseball, totally unrelated to wrestling, and a good chunk of WrestleMania 7 was devoted to that.
Yeah.
You know, they could have added more time to that Dino Bravo match and had the same results.
Well, either way, this was a fantastic story. We got to move along because I want to take some calls before we log off here.
Yeah.
Your next match was... this is a good match. Well, actually, it was okay.
It was okay.
Tenryu and Kateo.
Or Hantau.
No, Kateo.
Well, Heenan was calling him Hantau during the match.
Oh, yeah, Hantau, that's right. It's Hantau and Tenryu fighting the team of Demolition, but it was Crush and Smash. It wasn't Axe.
This is Demolition, the last legs.
Yeah, this is like the last legs of Demolition.
But this is actually an inter-promotional match, even though they didn't announce it.
Yeah, Hantau and Tenryu were on loan from the Japanese promotion, Super World Sports, I think it was.
Yeah, it was like Tenryu's promotion that he had for, it was less than a year. They had this relationship with the WWF, which was, you know, for me that was kind of interesting because they were bringing over top guys to SWS. Natural Disasters had a SWS tag title run over there too.
I'm looking at a chat room. I don't have 7 minutes. We can go over. I wanted to go 2 hours. I was told by management that we can go over 2 hours if there's no other programming. Indeed, so we are going over 2 hours. If it's okay with AA and the boys, we'll finish this up and take some calls. And we'll call it a day. Well, go ahead. I'm sorry, Dave.
But yeah, it was just this really interesting inter-promotion deal that they had going on. They sent the Rockers over there. They pretty much sent most of the roster over to Japan,
right,
to wrestle for SWS, and it went nowhere.
Well, Tenru
died within a year.
Well, people who don't know Tenru is a very established guy. At this point, I know Tenru from being the 6-man tag champion with the Road Warriors. When the Warriors turned heel on Dusty, they were all the 6-man tag at that point. But when the heel turn went down, obviously they didn't want Dusty Rhodes as their partner anymore, so they got Tenru.
Well, they put the fucking spike in Dusty's eye, so...
Yeah.
That's not an indicator that they don't want to tag with you, I don't know what is.
Pretty much, but they picked Tenru, of all people, to be their partner.
Mm.
So they fight Demolition. They actually defeat Demolition. Very quick match, 4 minutes and 44 seconds. Here's the deal. I didn't like... I'm not a big fan of Crush.
What?
I wasn't a big fan of Crush. I liked him better in Demolition. I didn't like him as a face when he had the Hawaiian colors and all that nonsense with the Shaka Bra. You know?
Yeah, he was great there, even though he fucking lost to Doink.
Yeah, that was the drizzling shits.
But for some reason, he got an Intercontinental title shot at King of the Ring for losing to Doink.
He did have that good match with Savage though at WrestleMania 10. That was decent.
That was a fantastic match.
When Savage hung him with the rope.
Yeah, and he was in Willie Nelson's favorite tag team, Chronic.
That's good, brother.
Yeah.
All right, your next match is for the Intercontinental title match. Mr. Perfect Champion defending against the Big Boss Man. You don't talk about the Boss Man's mama.
Insults hurt my mama's feelings. When you hurt my mama's feelings, you hurt mine.
I like the Boss Man. I've mentioned that a few times. And who doesn't like Mr. Perfect? This was a decent match.
This was an interesting thing because Boss Man went through literally everybody in the Heenan family at that point.
Right.
Mr. Perfect.
Right. Beat him at 10 minutes and 47 seconds. I didn't like Boss Man as a face. I tried. I liked him better as a bad guy.
You liked him better when he was bigger and his stomach was hanging out of his shirt and... He was hanging out with Akeem.
Yeah, Twin Towers. Shout out to my boy Bosco, who rocks the Twin Towers shirt to this day.
Never forget.
Never forget, baby. Earthquake defeats Greg Valentine. Do we care?
Filler match of the night. of many.
Another filler match, not even a minute. Legion of Doom, my favorite tag team in the whole wide world, defeating Power and Glory.
It was like 20 seconds or
59
something?
59 seconds.
Wow.
We talked about Virgil and Ted DiBiase already 2 weeks
This
ago.
Is one of my favorite. Hey, Phil, how do you spell man?
V-I-R-G-I-L.
You got that. This was awesome. You know, when we see Piper this weekend, I got to ask him about this.
I hope we get to talk to Piper. Anthony was excited. Anthony was like bringing his whole family to the table, apparently. We're going to have a good time. It's going to be great.
Yeah, it'll be awesome. I you know, I'm interested in how this is going to go down. We got the whole floor to ourselves, right?
What's that?
Is that what he said? We got the whole third floor.
Yeah, we got the whole section over there. I don't know. It's going to be a fantastic. The place
I've never been over to Resorts Casino.
Me either. Like I said, I was telling Anthony, they went out and got 6,000 seats for this thing. I don't know if they're going to sell fucking 6,000 tickets for
it. No, all I got to say is me and Virgil, you know, we're going to hit the roulette table and we're going to bet on black.
Well, hopefully he'll have his gimmick table have enough money to...
I'm sure he'll show up. And we can reunite with him and Piper.
Right, so we spoke about Virgil's match like 2 weeks ago. I don't want to go into it again.
I'll just say this. Just the ending was epic. Again, I just love the ending to this match with, you know, they fucking grab Piper's crutch because he had the motorcycle accident. When I saw this, I was like, what the fuck is this guy doing? Like, the guy's leg is obviously injured. Can't fucking walk on it. And he's a million-dollar man and Sherry are bashing this guy's knee in with the fucking crutch. And, you know, Virgil clears house, and then he fucking tells Piper to stand up. The guy's got a broken leg or something like that.
He's not very bright, dude.
But hey, Piper stood up. You know, Virgil told him, like, do what you told me to do. Get up. That was awesome as a kid. Still is. I love watching this match.
You and your stinky armpits.
Hey, man. Wait until Saturday.
Dude, if you stink, I'm going to bust that ass. I'm twice your size and I won't stink that bad. That would fuck you up. Don't bring that funk to my table.
I'll get Virgil to hold you down and you're going to Pity City, my friend.
I'll give you Pity City. I'll give you a size 14 across the grill. All right. Your next match was the Mountie defeating Chico Santana. 1:21. Not very spectacular.
With the fucking cattle prod.
Right.
Surprisingly, they didn't have the sound effect for the.
I was just gonna fucking say that you ruined it. I love that.
Like all the right. Obvious as hell sound effect. Like him and fucking Doink had like their sound effects during their matches.
Fantastic, dude! It was fantastic. All right. So obviously, your main event of WrestleMania 7 was Hulk Hogan with Sergeant Slaughter with General Adnan.
Yes.
I love the promo beforehand. With Adnan cutting his talking his gibberish, and it was
the same thing for every promo. Kata hajime, kata you know, look a heiny ho.
And the best part of that, they pan the camera on Slaughter, and he's just acknowledging like he knows what the fuck he's saying. It was pretty funny, and like all I could do is chuckle. Like the other night, I'm watching, I laughed so hard with that promo. It was so great.
Oh, man. When I was a kid, I got riled up from the Slaughter one because he was, like, threatening to get counted out, threatening to get disqualified so Hogan doesn't win the belt. Because one thing about this match is that they don't hide the fact that, you know, Slaughter was not, you know, he wasn't the fucking Warrior. He wasn't Savage. He was Slaughter. This was like Slaughter on his last legs, his last opportunity, like fucking Ronnie Garvin to get his world title shot. And I love that he was playing the cowardly heel, you know, to a T, promo wise, you know, everything. The match was fantastic. And this was Hogan went all out for this match.
I think Mr. X is reading my notes because he said Hogan was jacked. He was, dude. He was juiced to the max. I wrote Hogan was Jack, same thing. So, yeah. Hogan looked beastly, bro. He was all sorts of roided up at this point.
Well, yeah. Well, he knew that fucking court date was hanging around, so he's like, oh, let me fucking use as much steroids as I can before it's illegal.
You call that doctor right quick and get that shit taken.
Yeah, get the fucking shopping bags.
The shopping bags.
Here's a briefcase full of fucking steroids and juice.
So your two matches go 40 minutes. This goes 20 minutes and 26 seconds. I got to tell you.
That's long for a Hogan match.
Again, I know you're not big on Slaughter, but I can't.
I love Slaughter, but just at this point in his career, I didn't find it to be a
I don't know, man. I disagree. I thought it was one of the better Hogan matches.
I agree. This made me a believer in Slaughter as a proper heel champion.
And Hogan, of course, wins the belt for now. The second time? Third time? I forget.
Yeah, this is, he won his first against Sheiky Baby, second against Macho Man.
Right, and he lost to the Warrior, so this was his...
This was his third reign.
Third reign, yeah.
And this was just phenomenal. Like, Hogan was just on the offense from the get-go. And then what was the turning point? I think it was when let me try to find it in my notes. Fucking Hogan goes to the top rope. That was it. Hogan to the top rope, first time ever.
Right.
Slaughter slammed his ass, and just from there, you know, Slaughter was on the offense from there, and. Fucking Adnan was on the apron, distracting the referee when Slaughter couldn't have gotten the three count. Slaughter went to the top rope too. I think. Well, Slaughter went to the top rope a few times.
Yeah, he did. He went twice. I think. Yeah, but
this was a successful one. He got the fucking. He fucking dropped a knee on him, and he was fucking stepping on him too, which I thought was interesting. fucking Slaughter just dropping his 300-pound knee down on him, but like he had his fucking foot on his like kidney too, coming down.
Yippers. So
then there was the chair shot. Hogan's fucking juiced.
Yeah, Hogan juiced hardcore for this match.
Yeah, he didn't do that very often at this time.
Yeah.
And Slaughter with the camel clutch. Heenan yelling, ring the bell. Yeah. And then fucking Slaughter gets up and just starts jumping on his back repeatedly and gets the fucking camel clutch. And, you know, we almost had a January 23rd moment.
Oh.
He was about to ram him into the turnbuckles. And funny enough, I love these little intricacies. I love the fact that Slaughter let go and just pushed Hogan to the turnbuckle.
At ease, puke.
And to add insult to injury, put the fucking flag, the Iraqi flag, on him. How cool is that?
Yeah, man. Well, that's it. That's WrestleMania 7, man. That was a good It was a good match. We're going to take some calls before we wrap it up. 718-878-6394.
That number again is?
718-878-6394. Anybody want to call in? We'll keep the Skype open for a few minutes. And we'll take your questions. And whatever you have to say, and then we'll throw you off the air and do some plugs. And go
Hogan had more juice than Tropicana. Okay, Kid Human's got is back in my good graces again. Wait, Hogan was greasier than Patrick Ewing in the fourth quarter.
Chat room's on fire tonight, guys. Thank you so much, man. Thank you so much tonight.
You're taking an integrated approach to chat room banter.
Well, I got to tell you, we have the best fans right now going, so this is a real treat for us to be doing this tonight.
Yeah. We're live.
We're alive. You got to do a good Vince McMahon. Anyway, you guys...
1, 2, 3, he kicked out.
But yeah, man, you guys want to call in 718-878-6394.
Call the hotline at...
Call the hotline. Oh, we got a call. We have a call. Let's add him on. Turnbuckle Throwbacks, what's your name? Where you from?
Bill Scott, calling from Virginia.
You're not really from Virginia. You just live there, you fool.
Yeah, I'm from Queens, 110 crew, hanging out back in the day.
What's going on, brother?
How does somebody not go from much. Queens to Virginia?
Oh, I got married, moved down here. Better raise kids down here than up there.
He ain't lying, man. That's some, you live in fucking Jersey. What do you know?
I know a lot. I know more than you know, pal.
Christ.
Oh, please. Jersey is dirtier than a freaking nasty boy's armpit.
You are not kidding. Fucking.
Hey, leave those precious pits out of this.
Have you been to Camden? It's the drizzling shits.
Hey, they got like Krispy Kreme over in Camden.
Oh, Jesus. So what's up, Scotty? What's on your mind, bro?
Not much, man. I was just wondering, what was your favorite set of ring announcers ever? WCW, WWE, ECW, you know, Joey Styles going solo.
I loved Monsoon and Heenan. I loved Gordon Solie and then I loved Joey Styles. I mean, I have a soft spot for Tony Schiavone, but I got to go with Gorilla only because it's what I grew up with. I mean, I didn't catch on with Mid-South and shit until like the mid-80s, early 90s because I didn't have cable. And tape trading, I didn't start until high school. So for me, it was Gorilla Monsoon. That was it. He was the man.
I gotta agree. Gorilla Monsoon and Heenan were just classic. They got me into wrestling, loved them as a kid. Still love them when I'm watching these old school ones.
Joey Styles.
I gotta disagree. It's all about Ventura, the body. He always had the best lines.
Yeah, Mr. Rex in the chat room saying Vince and Jesse. Vince and Jesse were good too, though. I mean, they were, you know. Yeah.
I love the fact that, like, Jesse would call out Vince, like, randomly. Like, just say, like, listen, pal, I can have your job if you keep acting like this. I'm like, whoa. Nowadays, it's like, whoa, he's telling the boss that he's gonna fire him. But we didn't know that back then. So, you know, catching all those kind of, like, those little jabs, you know, Ventura was doing back then. Even, like, the fucking Terry Garvin School of Self-Defense. It's like, what the fuck is that? Now we know what it is. It's like, oh, shit. You know, these guys were just, like, throwing these great little inside jabs, you know, for all these matches.
Right.
So, on the side, no powers. I went to order that Chris Benoit sleepover shirt. And my wife
I saw your comment on there.
My wife is like, no, don't order that. That's bad taste. So I just ordered the Roar's Benoit shirt.
So wait, you didn't buy your wife didn't want you to buy the breast cancer shirt?
I'm not going to get that. No, definitely not that one. That wouldn't go over too big in this household.
Unreal. I don't know if I can wear that.
All right, guys. I want to get you some more phone calls. You guys are doing a great job. Keep it up.
Thanks,
love the show, man.
Scott, thanks for the love, man. We really love all the support, man. Good looking out. Good talking to you again, man.
Thanks. All right, take it easy. So I'll be up in a few months, and we've got to get together. We've got to meet up somewhere.
Dude, my house is always open to you and your family, man. Just let me know what's going on.
All right, thank you, Phil. Appreciate it. Talk to you later.
Take care, brother.
Peace.
Bye.
All right. All right. Scott. I know Scott. I know Scott for like 20 years, man.
Shivani and Dusty is the best commentator. That's a good pair, too.
He got a bicycle.
He hit him in the groin with a tartar seat. That was the best of Public Enemy.
He's going in the ladies' room.
he Public Enemy. It was like, I forget what it was. Fall Brawl or something like that. And it was Public Enemy. It's like one of their first matches in WCW.
Man.
Tony, he hit him in the groin. In the groin, Tony, with a tartar seat.
Oh, my God. So we got more callers. Do we have more callers? Call us.
5 more minutes. If not, I'm going to hang. I know Surf wanted to call in the beginning of the show, but
I haven't seen him on here.
No, he was in the chat room a couple hours ago. I didn't want
to. Yeah, a couple hours ago. That's when we started the show.
Again, I didn't want to go crazy with the phone calls because I wanted to see how we clicked with the live thing. I wanted to see how it worked out with the timing and the news and like I'm just overwhelmed.
My timing is always impeccable.
Oh yeah, you're the best. I don't care what they say about you at the Shining Wizards camp.
Fuck them. You know, Matt is like the worst. You know, he's trying to be heel, but he ain't doing it right. He's just attacking everybody. You have to have some alliance. There's no loyalty amongst thieves on Anderson, Ric Flair.
That's right. That's right. All right. You know what? We're gonna start wrapping this up. It's getting kind of late. I'm really, really overwhelmed because I was super nervous getting home doing this on time because I had to work.
I got to wake up at the ass crack of dawn.
Yeah, I'll be at work by the time half the world gets up anyway. All right. So we are the Turnbuckle Throwbacks. Oh, wait a minute. I'm going to get another call. We'll take another call real quick. All right. Turnbuckle Throwbacks, what's your name and where you're from?
Phil, what's going on? It's Tony C, man.
Tony C from the Rant. What's up, player?
You know, just want to call and show you guys some love.
Good looking out, true.
Thank you. Tony Schiavone some love, too, huh?
Well, you know, we have the same first namesake, so, you know, you got to show Tony some love.
Yeah, some kindred spirits.
Tony C is the co-host of The Rant every Tuesday night, 8 p.m. on Rant DM Radio. He's also on the call-in show, and now he's hanging out with us. And he's the resident WCW fan, resident Hulkamaniac of the crew.
Of course. I appreciate you guys showing WrestleMania 7 some love, of course.
Yeah, this was Dave's favorite. I was not aware until about 7 days
ago. No, this is not my favorite Mania, but
it's
your
favorite match. I should
favorite
say.
Match is Warrior Savage.
Yeah, Tony. Now you've listened to the show. Now you know how we do the whole current and the way back thing. How did you feel about WrestleMania 7? Watching it over again as an adult.
As an adult, you know the whole Macho Man. I don't know why Dave gives Sarge such a hard time for being, you know, champion, of course. And, you know, the best part about that whole Savage and Warrior feud was that it actually happened at the Rumble when he hit him in the head with the scepter.
Right.
He swung it like Barry Bonds in the ninth inning. Bam! That's what I remember about that whole feud in the Warrior in the promo saying I left pieces of the scepter in my head like
Warrior promo, yeah.
Oh yeah.
And then that was Barry Bonds, you know, pre-juice. This was Barry Bonds, Pittsburgh Pirates Barry Bonds, right?
Yeah.
Exactly.
Right. So
exactly.
this was on a side note, because I'm in a baseball mood lately, man. That Pirates team was nasty. Yeah, Bonds, yeah. Bonilla, Andy Van Slyke, Don Scott.
Bobby Bonilla. I haven't heard that name in so long.
Yeah, Andy Van Slyke.
Before Bonilla was a bum in New York, he was an ass kicking outfielder in Pittsburgh. But yeah, man. You know, the Warrior always cut these promos, these insane promos, but sometimes you got good stuff out of him. You know, like sometimes he made sense. Not all the time. Not all the time, but he made sense most of the time.
He was all over the place sometimes.
But rewatching this on the network the other night, like I was saying before, I got such a buzz, man. I got such a vibe. And it was cool because it was Saturday night. And I was getting ready to call into you guys. It was like man cave night. Nobody was here. I was rocking by myself. And after the wifey left, and I was like, dude, I can't believe this is so, like, this match was so good. You know what I'm saying? Like, even the Hogan match, I'm not a big Hogan guy. You know that. But even the Hogan match was, like, compelling. You know, it was like, 25 years later, you're like, holy shit, like, this is really good. This is a good story.
Well, you know, Hogan, he knew how to entertain, man. Back then, he can go longer than he could go. You know, once he got a WCW, you know.
And this was at a time when Hogan's popularity was starting to wane too. So,
right,
yeah, he was still doing good.
Just a quick aside. I was thinking about this today, and I just want to kick myself in the ass. You know, even for remembering this. Because I mentioned I did a show with the Ultimate Warrior. He personally picked me to be on this show of his. And afterwards, we're going out for he takes everybody out for breakfast because he has us starting the day off at 4 a.m. And so we're at this fucking diner with him, and everybody's kind of like a little on edge about asking him about wrestling, and I make this like little jab about like, oh, can we talk about Rick Rude? And everybody's just kind of like, they're trying not to be a mark there. And he says, yeah, you guys can talk about wrestling with me. It's fine. But then we like started arranging our seats differently. And I wanted to badly ask him about WrestleMania 7 in this match. And hopefully that I still have the dude's phone number. If he ever picks up my fucking calls. I'll see if I can get a.
You actually have the phone number to Parts Unknown, where he's from?
I have the address to Parts Unknown too.
Tony, you didn't know Parts Unknown was in New Jersey?
Parts Unknown is in New Jersey?
Yeah, it's south of where Rage lives, right?
Parts Unknown is there's a Parts Unknown in every state.
I also called in because I got Phil. I got a bone to pick with you about this whole John Cena thing too, man. You got to recognize you're a surfer, man. The bodies that he's leaving in his path, it's not cool, man.
It's not cool. But it's not him. It's this political struggle between the writing and the fact that the organization has a fear of putting the next guy over. They had guys in place, man. Back in the day, you had your Hogan, you had Bret Hart, you had Shawn Michaels, and then it skyrocketed into Austin. So after Austin, and then The Rock, and Triple H, and even Mick Foley, now you take a step back and go, holy shit, who am I going to...
But Phil, keep in mind, how did like Chris Jericho skyrocket in WWF? He beat Triple H on Raw, even though they took the title back from him. He beat him. You see what I'm saying?
I understand that. I thought Chris Jericho was more of a transitional guy. I didn't say transitional champion like he dropped the belt a week later. I just think it was like the right guy, right time. Although I loved him as champion, I loved Edge as champion. Randy Orton's first run when Evolution dumped him, I liked that champion. There's certain guys that they have to put on the clothes and the toys and the crippled kids and the cereal boxes.
Orton was with the crippled kids.
But that's what I'm saying,
I'm saying he doesn't have to be beat clean. You can beat him with some shenanigans. I mean, he loses to Orton and Miz and all them with shenanigans. Hogan even let Sid throw him out of the Royal Rumble with shenanigans.
Again,
it's not.
I think people are just taking it too seriously, and people almost taking it personally. Not you in particular, but I understand where you guys are coming from with him burying guys. But it's not really him, because if you think about it, he stands up for certain guys. He puts himself over, but he sticks up for the CM Punk in the world.
The guys he sticks up for is in a handful, is what I'm saying.
Right, but there's only a handful of guys that are worthy enough to put a mantle on, to put something on. Listen. It's not your older brother's WWE anymore. It's not WWF anymore. It's not WCW anymore.
It's World Wrestling Entertainment.
They put all that work into that Mark Henry storyline. You mean to tell me they couldn't have gave him the belt for a month?
Dude, I would have gave him a 6-month run. I loved Mark Henry as an animal.
That's what I'm saying. Sandow.
You're preaching to the choir, brother. I'm just saying, like, if you the perspective is that WWE is afraid, and they're afraid to put the mantle on the next guy, on the next cereal box, on the next Make-A-Wish, on the next fucking. He has more T-shirts than everybody. He has more toys than everybody. I have a 7-year-old in the next room. I'm living proof. Okay.
Make sure he's not watching those Nasty Boys matches.
No.
Life, when they lose to him, they don't even get like a rematch or anything. Like when he beat Rey Mysterio the night when Punk came back, Rey Mysterio didn't even get a rematch.
You're right.
They just moved on.
Get on with the get on because it was
yeah.
Because. Again, Tony, I expect nothing less from World Wrestling Entertainment. And I'm not going to sit here and lie to all these listeners and lie to you and my partner that it's okay for him to do what he's doing. But I had to defend Surfer on Saturday because
he had some say into it. I listened to a Shoot interview, and when he buried Wade Barrett. I understand. He has creative control over who he loses to.
That's true.
You can put somebody over, man. Just
yeah, and it's not just that.
Not look weak.
But it's not just that. There's like how we had it in the 80s and 90s. There's just so many fucking great guys that are part of the system now, and it seems like for a lot of dudes to really break through. They have to be like, renegade in some sort of sense, not like the fucking dude who killed himself, but, like fucking Punk or, Daniel Bryan, just kind of straying away from, what's expected of them.
And the thing about it is, Daniel Bryan caught a break. A lot of people, like I said, he got lucky because Cena didn't get hurt. Cena was not dropping that belt to him.
Yeah. No.
You pull up those merch reports, brother. Pull them up.
Oh, I totally agree.
But people are like so disenchanted that they'll boo him, even in his hometown. Can you imagine going? Can you imagine me going next week to Brooklyn, and I'm getting booed on the subway? It's the same thing. Like, can you imagine going to as a performer, like a singer? Can you imagine give me a good example. Like Bon Jovi, okay? Bon Jovi is like was a huge rock band in the 80s. Can you imagine them going back to Jersey? They were. They're not that big anymore.
So huge.
Can you imagine going back
ambassadors for New Jersey trying to make New Jersey look a little bit better.
Or like Springsteen going to Jersey and getting booed. You know what I'm saying? Or Jay-Z going back to Marcy and getting booed from the project building. You know what I'm saying? But it's the same concept. It's like, the wrestling fans need a reason to poo-poo on something, and they're gonna pick Cena. He's an easy target. He's the face of the franchise.
But Phil, check this out. Since Wade Barrett off the Cena, his career has been the same since. He buried the man and his faction.
Again, I'm not arguing with you. I'm just telling you that.
But they're putting a lot of money into that, like, friggin' mid-card or Barrett now.
They're putting a lot of money into different things because they're trying to get out of them being afraid of putting the face on the next guy. Because let's face it, John Cena's in his mid-30s. You got about a good 4 or 5 years out of him, maybe. You're never going to turn him heel. Can you imagine turning him heel? All the cripple kids would cry forever. They would. They would.
So you're blaming it on the cripple kids.
I'm blaming it on WWE creative. I'm blaming it on Triple H. I'm blaming it on the writers. That they're bringing these fucking Hollywood writers. They're half-assed guys. They don't let the inmates run the asylum no more. This ain't like WCW where Dusty Rhodes was doing terrible finishes and Kevin Sullivan was putting all the good guys over. And Bill Watts wouldn't be able to throw anybody over the top rope without getting disqualified. Those days are over. Okay, it's about entertaining the crowd. They can give it. Listen. I've been out of that demographic, Tony, for 5 years. I am no longer in the 18-35-year-old demographic. Okay, my allegiance to wrestling is lifelong. I'll never stop. I love it that much.
Me too.
I love it that much. But my point is. My point is this: they no longer care about the fan, the older fan. It's about the kids. It's about the 7 to 15 year olds, the 10 to 18 year olds. It's the tweeners. It's that. It's the merch.
That is buffoonery.
I know what the crippled, retarded kids know what they want better right. than what the crippled, retarded kids want.
Right.
I mean, even when people will give the Rock flack, but even when he came back, you know, Hollywood Rock, he put the hurricane over.
Listen, I would have turned Cena when the Shield came in. That was my cue. I wanted Cena to run the Shield. I wanted Cena to run the Shield. I said to Dave,
Hogan, NWO.
Yep, I told AA this on Facebook. I told a whole bunch of people. I said, I would have loved.
I think a lot of people would have shat on that just because it's Cena, you know, being the head of a group of, you know, new guys.
No way, dude. Can you imagine if Cena was the Shield coming in? Like, now I'm anti-establishment, like doing the FU and like with the black arm, like almost like an NWO type thing. But you know what I'm saying? Like
they did that with the Nexus and they dropped the ball on that.
Well, that was because right, because they needed CM Punk. They needed CM Punk. CM Punk could no longer be in F action.
I don't know. A lot of dudes were sold on them without CM Punk.
I don't know. All I know is that, you know, with proper booking, you could do a lot of good things. My point is though, they're afraid and they've been safe this long and they've made money this long. And people who say they hate it and people who say they're not going to watch it are the same jerk-offs that buy the T-shirts, that buy the pay-per-views, that listen to our crappy radio shows, and they sit around.
Hey, we're not a crappy radio show.
But seriously, though.
No, not crappy at all.
But you know what I'm talking about. I'm just being silly. But you know what I'm talking about. These are the same people that sit around. They need a reason to crap on something. And
but that's the thing. Like, this is the time where
I loved him as a heel, bro. I loved the whole – and I told you this, Tony. I loved the whole thugonomics and the chain and the throwback jerseys. I wanted that Virginia Squires jersey. I loved that Dr. J jersey. That was fresh to death. But you have to understand, too, it was like, you know, different time, different place. 10 years he's been in the organization, and he hasn't been a heel in almost 10 years.
But people will give Hogan so much flack about, oh, he held his guy back. Oh, he did. Well, this guy's going to the unseen pearl.
How many guys back in the day could have beaten Hogan? And I'm talking about the Orndorffs of the world. I'm talking about the Pipers of the world, the talented wrestlers that could have beaten Hulk Hogan for the title clean. But because he was so over and so popular. Are you kidding me? Are you kidding me right
Perfect
now?
Could have beat him. Yeah,
absolutely.
Yeah,
absolutely.
Yeah.
Absolutely. But that's what I'm saying. It's the same concept. It's the same concept. It's all about entertainment. They don't care about the old.
But they beat him, though. They would like get like count out victories or something like that. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah. They had better writers. They told a better story. And it wasn't as exposed now. You have 10 hours of
had writers. I think the writers were like Vince.
Right. You had wrestlers booking it. And you know what? You didn't have as much TV as you did now. You could tell a story better without breaking kayfabe, without dirt sheets and internet and shit like that.
Well, hey, they're doing a great job with some of their lesser products. Like Main Event was great. NXT is phenomenal.
But I'm not crazy. You guys don't think I'm crazy for thinking he could lose that way and he wouldn't lose any steam. Like, there's nothing wrong with, like, a count-out victory or even a double DQ.
Yeah.
No, I don't think you're crazy. I just don't think – I don't think Surfer's a mark, though. You guys want to call him a mark. He's not. You can't be a mark. You can't be over 35 years old and be a mark for John Cena.
Unless Cena turns heel, Surfer's going to cry.
Unless you got a couple of chromosomes loose or missing. You know what I'm saying, Tony? All right, brother, we're going to let you go. We're going to wrap this up.
All right, you guys, finish up the show, man. Good talking to you. Great
Thanks
show.
For calling, Tony C.
Thank you so much, Tony. I'll talk to you later,
no
man.
No problem, brother.
Later. All right, take care, brother.
Right. You know, I just got to say real quick, you know, if there's any time to experiment in the WWE, it's now. You know, when was the last time you ever had a fucking WWE, WWF crowd, you know, do a chant like that? Or just do chants, period, besides bullshit or boring.
Yeah.
And, you know, they've never had a crowd like this. Not with Hogan, you know, not with The Rock or Austin. You know, this is the first time that they've had, like, the crowd, like, into the guys like this. It's unbelievable. If there's any time to experiment, it's now. And the fans are begging for it. They're crying out.
Well, again,
I want change now.
Well, we'll see what happens. It's still early in the year. Maybe something will snap.
All right, Daniel Bryan's going to win the championship, Hulk Hogan WrestleMania 9 style. I'm calling it.
We're in full WrestleMania mode.
Criswell predicts. Mega Powers predicts. This is it.
We are the Turnbuckle Throwbacks Wrestling Podcast. This is the Rant EM Radio Network, rantemradio.com. We are a Shining Wizards Network production. Go to shiningwizardsnetwork.com. We are on iTunes, Buzzsprout, Stitcher. We're on Geek Life Radio every Saturday evening. We're on Audio Boo. Let's see. Yeah, you can email the show, turnbucklethrowbacks1@gmail.com. We are on Twitter at TBuckleTbacks. Thanks to all the fans on Twitter. Put some music on while I'm talking here. Right. So now, let's see. You email the show. Listen, we're still having that contest, man. You want to book
the
rebook the streak. TurnbuckleThrowbacks1@gmail.com.
RoboCop versus Undertaker could possibly win this contest.
All right. So, of course, our friends, our brothers in arms, our four brothers in arms, the Shining Wizards, support them. Support the Midnight Jury, Neckbreaker, Two and a Half Wrestlers, The Fallen Angels, Apex Radio, Wolfman Jack Foley, Just Incredibles Pro Wrestling 101. Of course, you got The Rant every Tuesday night at 8 p.m. Us Turnbuckle Throwbacks now every Wednesday at 9. You got the Wrestling Call-In Show at every Saturday at 11. You got the Surfer, What Are You Reading, at 6 p.m. every Sunday. Don't forget the Lockdown Show this weekend on The Rant. Thank you to Don, Tony, Kevin Castle again. Can't thank you enough. Wrestling Soup, The Bloke Show, Mega Powers Radio, NXT Cast, Metal Thunder Radio, Will Sweeney, Chris Espo, Tattoos and Touchdowns on MolochRadio.com every week, and Uncle Eddie and the Ham Radio Show on PlanetPlatypus.com. So.
And support me. Buy my posters.
Buy a t-shirt. Don't buy a poster yet. Buy a t-shirt.
Actually, a bunch of guys are actually contacting me for the posters. One guy, I got to get back to him. He wants to buy some posters.
I want to thank everybody in the chat room tonight.
And I'm bringing DVDs to the show.
DVDs to the show. Yeah, World Premier Wrestling. This Saturday night, World Resorts Casino in Queens, New York. Go to WPWWrestling.com for ticket information. Dave and I will be there for the pre-show.
We're going to be raw.
We'll be raw and live.
Uncooked. Uncensored.
That's right.
And whatever the other line was.
Awesome. All right. Let's take this train home. So on behalf of the Mega Powers, I am the Impact Player, Mr. Phil Rea. Thanking everybody on The Rant. Everybody in the chat, remember on Twitter and Facebook, guys are fantastic. And we'll be back next week at 9 p.m.
Yeah.
And that's, you know, take care of yourselves, each other, avoid the clap.
And in the words of Gorilla Monsoon, so long, everybody.
Peace out.